Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
I don't think you can handle this.
Thank you.
She's a few years older than you. She's 72 today. Stevie Nicks, what a wonderful woman, and a medical miracle that she's managed to cling on to life for so long due to the experiments that she conducted pretty early on in her life. This song is amazing. It should never have happened if she'd been able to listen properly, maybe hear over the sound of a loud party, or pay attention to someone because they had a different accent. That song would never have happened. Do you know the story about this song? The Edge of 17. Misheard. She was talking to Tom Petty's wife, Jane. How did you meet Tom? He's so charming. And Tom Petty's wife, Jane, is from the South. And she said, well, we met at the age of 17. The Edge of 17 was born. She realised she'd made a mistake. She didn't care anyway because she's a flipping genius. She told Jane Petty that they would get a credit on that particular single, and they certainly did. And a legend was born. Years and years later, a group, Beyonce Knowles, Kelly Rowland, and the other one decided that they were going to make Bootylicious. And again, the legend was passed to another generation of women who rocked out to it. And that is why Stevie Nicks is... that is partly the reason why Stevie Nicks is one of the best people on the planet. 03444991000. I mean, you can nominate your best person on the planet, but Stevie Nicks, for me, especially today, I'm just glad she's about. I really am. Let's have a quick word with Alistair. Alistair, good evening to you.
Okay, first, what do you want me to handle, Catherine, please?
Well, can you handle this? Generally, can you handle this? That I'm offering you there. What do you think of that?
Well, I do remember when I was 16 years old. Oh, I saw the cover to Rumours.
And I
saw Stevie Nicks' photograph.
Yeah,
you can probably imagine what was going through my head.
Yeah, what on earth has Mick Fleetwood got dangling from his belt there? Obviously, he's ready for a game of bull. At the drop of a hat, that man, drawing attention to his manliness. But yeah, I mean, what a woman. What a woman.
Yeah, I mean, no, what a great album, first of all, Rumours is. Plus, I mean, I've followed the documentaries and everything. I've watched Stevie Nicks, you know, on various. And I mean, she's absolutely brilliant that she's managed to hold everything together despite going through a lot of rubbish in those days, didn't she, with all sorts of things.
Also known as cocaine, yeah.
Yes, I didn't want to say cocaine.
She did.
Yes.
She did, because, right, here's the thing about Stevie Nicks. I get the impression, and I've read a few books about her, and one of the best books in the world, and I don't know whether it's completely true, and I kind of don't care. Have you read Storms, My Life with Lindsay Buckingham and Stevie Nicks?
I haven't.
It's by Caroline Harris. And the copy I've got, and I've got a few of them because I keep giving them away because it's one of those page turners. You read it and go, that is amazing. You tell someone about it and they say, oh, I'd like to read that. And then you never see it again. So I've bought about three copies in my time, but it's incredible. So it's about the time when Caroline Harris got together with Lindsay Buckingham, I think after Rumours.
Right.
But there was still quite a lot of to-ing and fro-ing going on. And there's moments in that book where he goes off to talk to Stevie and comes back hours later and you think, yeah, I don't know whether a lot of talking was done. But, you know, he was also, from what Caroline Harris says, a really kind of abusive and at least difficult man to live with. And there's a lot of drugs going on.
I could imagine that. From what I've heard, I could imagine that he would be, yes.
Yeah, and cocaine never made anyone a nicer person, did it? So, and he's also someone who is all about, you know, following his impulses when it comes to his art, and that kind of came before everything. There's an arrogance there. I mean, he's one of those kind of deadly charming figures, but probably a pain in the backside, actually, to try and hold down any kind of life with. So it's an incredible book. If I had a copy of it, I've probably got one somewhere, Alistair, I would send it to you because it's brilliant. It's what a page turner.
Could you put the name and the book and everything on Twitter?
Yeah, I will.
And I'll follow it up. But I mean, mentioned Lindsay Buckingham. I think that probably like Dominic Cummings, is probably a bit of a narcissist. Thinks he's the best at everything. Well, I'm guessing.
I don't know.
That's an assumption. And,
exactly. You know, I'm getting my impression of Lindsay Buckingham from a tell-all book by one of his ex-girlfriends who, you know, didn't have the easiest of times, it would appear, at the very least, whether there's some exaggeration in there. But the thing is about Stevie in that book and in a number of other books I've read where she features is that she doesn't seem to have, how do I say it? doesn't seem to have a very grown-up energy in terms of, you know, she's never had kids. She was married for like a year, I think, to her best friend's widower, if I'm remembering correctly. She has a strong female friendships, you know, like a sort of teenage girl type thing. And there's nothing wrong with having a young energy, and she's living her life. She does whatever she wants to, and, you know, I'm certainly not going to slag her off for that. But she's quite an incredible and, especially for those days, quite an unusual sort of figure as a woman. I think she's brilliant. You know, again, one of those women who I'm glad are about. Like Yoko Ono, another one who gets kind of maligned a lot. Yeah. But she does things on her own terms, and you can only appreciate that, really.
Yeah, I mean, she's very talented, and, you know, all power to her. And, you know, she's managed to keep her career going, which isn't easy in this day and age.
Yeah.
So good. Excellent.
But also, how weird, right? Every time they get together, Fleetwood Mac, for however brief it might be, everyone wants to see Lindsay and her kind of play act, a sort of romance or a rivalry or something. And that's become part of the gig, hasn't it? Imagine that, right? The person you went out with in your 20s, having to recreate that in your flipping 60s and 70s. That's nuts, actually, isn't it?
I think so. It requires a lot of acting, I would have thought.
Although, if you pay me enough, I will definitely do that.
Anyway, so can I just say a very brief thing about DC, please?
Go on, then.
Because I think it's time for people to move on. Reason being is this. Nothing will happen to Dominic. He won't go. He won't resign. And basically the story will die a death anyway. And I think people need to concentrate on the other things the government are doing. Whether they be right or wrong, you make your own judgment. And that's all I want to say.
Okay. I mean, I don't really want tonight's show to be all about him again, because,
like
you say,
not.
It just frustrates people. But
yeah,
the difficulty with moving on from this one... Well, the difficulty with moving on from this one is he's fundamental in that government. And if you don't trust him, you don't trust that government. And the way some people have been closing ranks, I mean, the Gove thing about, I think I might have driven her to test my eyes. No, you didn't. Come on. That is just, I think that's taking the mickey out of the electorate. But anyway, I don't really think we should move on. I think that here's the thing that I go back to time and time again. There's a Maya Angelou quote, which is something about if someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. I've seen him now. Seen him. Can't
see it. You're right. It's just that
him, I don't have to go to Barnard Castle to see him. Do you know what I mean?
I think he's just so manipulative. He's manipulated this thing so well because it takes people's attention away from actually how bad Boris Johnson, I think, in my opinion, is.
Well, he's become the show, and that's never a great thing if you're supposed to be the behind the scenes guy.
Yeah, become the show. But your show is the best show. On radio.
That's a nice little segue, Alistair. Thanks very much for moving us swiftly out of those choppy waters. So, how's your day been?
It's been very good, actually, because I had a day where I didn't do anything particularly, you know, much. But I felt so serene today and calm, and nothing's... What I've done, you know, I've been reading the Four Agreements.
Yes.
And that combined with the literature from AA and the meetings and all the rest of it. I just managed to put everything out of my head and just not worry about anything, literally.
Beautiful.
I've been sort of asked to help out on the AA helpline locally. So that's nice too. Get that trust, and I've got to ring someone tomorrow about it, and hopefully I can, you know, deliver the message well.
And, what an honour! But also,
you
deserve it. You absolutely deserve it. This is what. If anything good can come out of what you've been through, it's this. It's turning it into something positive, not just for you, but for other people. I think that's wonderful. Well done, Alistair. Well done.
Yeah. Right. Well, thanks, Kath, for listening to me.
No problem, my pleasure. Take care of yourself. That's Alistair. Give me a ring on 0344 499 1000. Jasmine's done the same thing. Hiya, Jasmine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hey. Is that actual Jasmine? It says you're in Bedford, Bedfordshire. This is obviously some sort of trick.
No, it's me, Catherine.
It's a definite quirk of our system, but what a delightful surprise. What have you been up to, Jasmine? It's been very quiet on the old jazz front.
Oh, yeah, I've been very, very busy lately. I had to go to bed very early. And but the reason why I'm calling is I wanted to tell you, you know, you'll never guess what terrible, terrible thing happened to me yesterday.
Go on.
So I got up in the morning and I was feeling kind of a little bit dizzy and it didn't change, but yeah, it was just a little bit. And so I decided, yeah, I will go for a little walk right now. Maybe it will help.
Right.
Yeah, then I was walking and then all of a sudden I felt like the floor was completely moving. And so I had to sit down and it was kind of like
what, on the pavement?
Yeah, I could see the pavement move very, very fast, like when you're on a slide.
Oh,
and you
God.
Go down very, very fast.
This isn't to do with the experiments you've been doing with your vision, is it?
No. And so I thought I might faint now or something or might die. And then I decided to call 999.
Yeah.
And I told them what was happening and they just said, yeah, we will call the police now so they can come and check on you.
Oh,
because
the police would get there quicker. What is the number for the emergency services in Switzerland? Is it 999?
No, it's 144.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you for translating that for us so we would understand. So 144, right.
Yeah, I could hardly dial that on my phone because I couldn't really see it. And then afterwards, yeah, they said they'll be there soon. And then two passengers, like, came to me and saw me. And they were just there talking to me when we were waiting about half an hour until police finally arrived. And before they called us, and they said, now they're there, but they can't find me. Now you're on the wrong spot, probably. Because you would see, and then they came around in the right place and they picked me up and put me in the police van. Not the normal car, it was the van for the criminals. And
was it full of criminals or was it not peak time yet?
No,
just you?
I don't think yet, but I felt a little bit embarrassed so that happened. Maybe someone see me or something.
Yeah, what
did they do? Get handcuffed.
Did they take you home or did they take you to get checked out?
No, they said they will take me to hospital now so they can check me. And so we went to hospital. It took us about 20 minutes because there was just kind of like so much traffic over there. And when we arrived and doctors came and everything. And they put me in a wheelchair, and they've driven me around from one doctor to another. I had to speak to all of them. And then finally they took me into a room and said, yeah, on this little bed you can lay down there. And then all the doctors came and did tests about 2 hours long. They did only test on me and everything. And afterwards they said, yeah, we can all say it's nothing very serious. So it's nothing we won't die from, though. So we did more tests, and they said that my ear's broken.
Your ear is broken? Did you just say your ear was broken?
Yes, yeah, it was said that a tiny little bit of bone in my ear.
Right.
Broke off, it fell off, and now it was still in my ear, wandering around.
That
made this optical illusion, and I was kind of like very scared of this because I never had this before. And they said, yes, that's because of this tiny little microparticle that's actually doing this to you.
Yeah. How on earth did you break your ear hole?
they said it can just happen to every person. There's nothing that I've done special.
You haven't been like sticking anything down your ear that's... they say that you shouldn't stick anything down your ear that's bigger than your elbow. Listen, everybody uses cotton buds. We all know that. Have you been a bit rough with a cotton bud?
Not at all. I've done nothing, but I felt, a little bit dizzy in the morning, so they thought it might have happened at night.
Gosh.
Maybe, yeah.
Gosh, maybe you're doing terrible things to yourself in your sleep, Jasmine.
I don't know. I was very
careful. We're both laughing about that. That's terrible business.
Yeah.
So can this bone heal? Are they going to put like plaster on it, a tiny sling or something? How are they going to fix it?
No, they can't actually fix it. They just say, this little particle will fall down like on the bone and grow there again during the next few days. So I just have to stay at home a lot. Don't jump around or something.
No jumping around. I mean, it's something I have to resist doing. Yeah. So, what is the situation where you are? Because, we hear about lockdowns everywhere else. Are you free to go, come and go as you like at the moment, Jasmine? Or, is this no hardship really having to stay at home?
Well, I'm feeling quite dizzy all the time. So, I just have to stay at home. But, I'm a little bit gutted that I can't get out right now. There's very good weather during the next few days, and
Well, it's probably for the best. We don't want you kissing the pavement again, do we? And obviously, and the embarrassing ride in the meat wagon. So what happened afterwards? How did you get home? Did the police bring you home, or did you get picked up?
No, the doctor said, they don't want me to walk to the bus station like this because, I could fall down. And then I had to call my mom. So she came to pick me up through all this traffic. And when she was there, she said, oh, my God, she was so scared when I called her and everything. And then she said, you have to come home and stay at her house for a night. And I said, no, I don't want this. But she kind of forced me or so. And then she gave me a nice meal and ice cream. And it was really nice. And I sleep in her bed and she would sleep on the couch. It was pretty nice.
Wow, she really likes you.
And then in the morning we had to go to see my GP. So, and he couldn't do anything either. But I was feeling a bit better now. Then, my mom just said, she will let me go home now. And so, that's why.
Wow, what an adventure. All you wanted to do was go for a walk. You ended up having a tour of the city from a police van. Incredible. Well, I'm glad you're all right now. And obviously now that you're resting up and you're unable to go out, now you're all... an audience for this show again. So, I mean, sad for you, but win-win for us.
I guess it. It's a crazy story.
It's so nice to hear from you again, Jasmine. You be careful with your other ear. I mean, you've got one left, so don't knacker that one.
Oh, no. I'll be very careful now.
Nice to speak to you. Thanks very much for ringing, Jasmine. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000. We can add that to the mix if you want. I know that phone-ins never really go on this show because you all kind of do your own thing, and that's cool. That is cool. But if you're looking for some inspiration, weird breakages. I mean, I've never heard of that one before. She's broken a bone in her ear. She reckons without sticking anything down it. Listen, I've seen Operation Ouch. It's a program that my kids are obsessed with. And there are loads of kids on it. And there's always a little animation telling you how they got their injuries. And it's always... for example, Monty was just sitting watching the television, eating sweets with his sister, and one of them, he threw it in the air and it went up his nose. Listen, we know that's not how it ended up his nose. The nurses know that is not how it ended up his nose. The doctor certainly knows. What Jasmine stuck down her ear, we're never going to find out, but I would love to see that animation. 0344-499-1000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Little treat now for fans of my previous life. You may remember that before my radio husband, Ian Lee, I mean, it's a very strained relationship, but we're just about clinging on. I was with a gentleman called Ronnie Barber, and I'm about to get back with him now that me and my husband is out of town, so to speak. Hello, Ronnie Barber.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's a really good setup, isn't it? That's great, yeah. Ian's out of town. Why don't you come on the show tonight, Ronnie? Why don't you? That's so much better. I mean, you've made me angry. You've made me angry the first half hour of this programme right now. Two things. Well, first, actually, Smarties. I get Smarties stuck up my nose, for example.
And how did that happen?
I put them up. I just put them up there. I didn't have a really particularly big nose, but my mum noticed my nose was kind of, I was kind of nasally. And I sneezed and three Smarties, and by the way, three Smarties of different colours kind of hanging down my nose.
Wow. Were they all up the same nostril, or did you spread them out?
No, well, there's only two nostrils, Catherine. Here we go again. How many times have we talked about your psychological and biology? You're rubbish. You're great at English, not that. The biology stuff, you know, when we were a thing, when we were an item, you know.
yeah, it was always a problem.
It was 3-in-1 to command, and they're all different colours.
Nowadays, that would get you on Britain's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. You were before your time.
I could have done that. I could have sold it for 500 quid in these programmes where you film people doing stuff, and you know, but I was written up in the Lancet and everything. I was written up in the Lancet, but I don't talk about that. Another thing I want to talk about tonight about you is you've been talking about Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, I love her.
But one of the women that we've talked about before who made a big impression was Mrs. Mills.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mrs. Mills.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was wonderful. I don't know whether she had quite as much of a publicised struggle with your marching powder, but I wouldn't be surprised. It might explain some of the...
Everybody has to have the same talk as you had, and that you never had, ever, Cathy.
No.
But, you know, they don't have to have that problem to get anywhere in the show business.
No, it's true. And Mrs. Mills was wonderful. That was always the act, wasn't it? She never did a sort of... Mrs. Mills is the one I'm thinking of that was on the sort of party albums, right? That used to play the piano and do the singing.
Yeah, Bobby Crushing Her Dress. Yeah. And she entertained us for hours and hours. Usually just a 3-minute piece, but it was brilliant. But she turned piano playing into piano playing, really. She was just fantastic. Another thing I was pleased to hear, which I haven't heard for a while, is your southern accent.
Yeah,
it's lovely to hear that. Wow, I do declare. It's lovely to hear that. Have you been working?
Yeah. Did you know? Well, I've been working on it a lot. But did you know that story about that? That's what the age of 17 was. She misheard it. It's the age of 17s when they got together.
Wow, did they? Listen,
they surely did.
Well, I do declare.
It's one of my favourite facts.
I don't. Yeah, you used to extol me, or not bore me, but you used to tell me about the fact in the past, and I used to love that when you used to set me down to say, "Let me tell you a story, Uncle Ronnie." and they were lovely days. They were lovely days.
Oh, they were fun though, Ronnie. It was really fun when we were allowed to play.
I hated it, Catherine. I hated every one of it. You were difficult. I don't mean that. No disrespect. But you were just difficult. The affairs, the alcohol.
It's very much the Lindsay Buckingham of the group.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, and when you did the dance and everything as well, I was like your, I was like the drummer, and I was like Fleetwood. I was like Mick Fleetwood.
All right, yeah.
I used to wear belts.
Belts with balls.
Yes. I used to wear those all the time. But I'm pleased to hear you're talking about my light body things, as you know. I like to hear.
Well, I know. Audience. Well, you're a former medical man, and you never lose that, do you?
I've seen tonsils getting taken out. That's one of the big things. Have you ever seen that? It's like scoops, Catherine. It's like big scoops.
How big are they in when they're actually out? Because I've been asked to look at them before, and I just see an inflamed throat. But what do they look like when they're out?
Well, they're like what you think they would look like. They are glands, Catherine. Remember, they are glands. And in the old days, before even you were born, they were whipped out. They're just taken out. But then they discovered that they are major infection-fighting glands.
Oh, I see.
So you would want to keep them. Oh, by the way, I got COVID tested last week. I had the thing. I had the up the nose, down the throat.
Right. This I need to hear about, because people were, when it all started, people were saying, I want to be tested. And there were a number of nurses online who took great delight in saying, oh, really? Because that cotton bud has to go quite far into your head.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. I had to do it myself, though. The army. The army turned up. It's a pop-up. It's a wee bit like a food place, you know, just pop up. In fact, it was a pop-up restaurant. You had your test and you went for a wee tackle. And it was lovely. But the thing is, I don't have tonsils, because the guy said, I hope I'm not giving away any medical secrets here, but the guy said, you have to touch your tonsils with the swab. And I don't have tonsils.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I had to go down really quite deep. But it was fine. It did bring me tears back. But I'm negative, Catherine. I'm negative.
Excellent. Well, that's one test everyone's happy not to pass, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. I'm positive, I'm negative, as Donald Trump said.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Have you been tested yet? Because you're a main media celebrity.
I'm a key worker. No, I've not been, but Ian's bought one of those antibody tests that you can buy, the expensive ones.
Yes.
Although I read in the paper today that they the bosses of the medical, whatever it's called, board, are saying that they shouldn't be processing those from now on. So I don't know where that leaves us. I've not done the test yet. Ian did himself quite a mischief, actually, trying to get blood, because you get a little bottle. It's not a smear of blood they want. They want, like, something you can swish around.
Swish around? Not like the old thing at the end of your finger.
No, not like, you know, if you're diabetic, you do a spot test. This was like, they wanted a certain amount of blood that you could swill around in a small bottle.
Dodgy.
I know.
Yeah.
So I've not done mine yet.
Did he get it from a reputable source?
He got it from a reputable source. I think he got it from Superdrug.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure that's reputable then.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm not entirely sure you need ampules.
Well, exactly. Well, they gave him, I think he said to me that they gave him, you'll know this is a medical term, Ronnie, lancets. You got two lancets per kit, but unfortunately, the reason I can't do mine is because he used my lancets too to try and get the amount of blood that he needed out. It was awful. It looks like it was some sort of murder scene that he managed to recreate.
That's just selfish, though, Catherine. He used yours. That's just selfish.
Yeah. I don't care about that.
We know that, but that's just selfish. You're not your lancet when you can have caused yourself a major injury as well.
Exactly. Leave my lancet alone. It's my business.
Yes. That was your catchphrase in the old days. I remember used to end every show like that. Really good. Yeah, it was really. But I just wanted to bring that up because I was angry, Catherine, Mrs. Mills. But the Southern accent, that really is. Is that the Southampton accent?
Pretty much, yeah. I try and keep it. I try not to offend anyone, so I make it as rubbish as possible, so no one thinks I'm getting at them. That's what I'm aiming for with my accent.
That's not working, Catherine. The offending thing. That's not working.
Oh, Ronnie, it's so nice to hear your voice. So, what kind of a day have you had?
I do a wee podcast in the morning. A wee podcast.
Right, give us a plug.
I work with this guy who has been. A guy called Paul Stainton, and it's Stainton and Barber.
I remember him.
Yeah, he's rubbish. I'm the star. I'm the funny one. Obs. Stainton and Barber's Antidote, and it's on. It's all your available thing. Yeah, so we do a wee thing of that. And then, believe it or not, I went out for the first time today. My wife and I. I'm still married, Catherine. Not the same woman you remember. I've gone to said, what's waiting? There was no service, isn't it? Anyway, and we went out to the home base, and I wore my mask for the first time.
Oh.
Oh, it's quite an experience. Although it's the balaclava mask I've got. You know, the stuff that I was in the forces. So the security guide was a bit weird about when I turned up with a balaclava mask on, because I wanted some paint. And he wasn't too happy that to frisk me. But the great thing is they allow you to frisk them back. So it was a frisk back, so it was worth it. And so I've been painting the dining room today, Catherine, with a paint called Caramel Lackey.
Right. That's brown, isn't it?
Aye.
Light brown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a light brown, but it dries lighter than it. Sorry, Catherine. We are talking about paint drying you.
We actually are.
So I was doing that, and I moved the curtains from one side of the patio door to the other, paint one side, then moved the curtains back.
Wow.
To that, and then that you have to put the curtains down. So I quite the elevator.
Real thorough job. It's like a professional job there, moving the curtains out of the way, rather than painting around them.
When I get a brush in my hands, Catherine, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. That's who I am. I'm still there, Catherine. By the way, I noticed you're doing a lot of painting and decorating these days.
I'm doing a lot of painting, but it's just really to stop myself from going bonkers. Just bonkers. I get so bored, Ronnie. It's so bored. But do you know what? We were saying yesterday, bored is a luxury. Do you know what? Bored is good at this situation. Yeah. I'd rather be bored than anything else at this point. So.
Absolutely. But, Catherine, why do you have to inflict your painting onto everybody? and no disrespect here, but I'm saying this in love. But, Catherine, there are online courses for this kind of thing. You know, you can go to your YouTube, and they'll take you through the kind of brushes you need to buy and everything.
Yeah.
So why don't you do your ceiling or something? Why don't you do like a Ian mural on the ceiling? You know, like the Sistine Chapel, where you kind of lying on a chaise lounge.
Wow. Okay, you've given that quite a lot of thought. All right, I'll definitely consider it. I mean, apparently they've moved floors at Talk Radio. We've not been in the actual studio since they moved it upstairs for some reason. So I'm thinking they'll probably appreciate it if I jazz it up a little bit when I go back, you know, put our own little stamp on it.
Yeah.
We love that. Yeah. Really love that.
Yeah. But, just be, you know, you walk in and you see you looking down like that, kind of heavenly. That would be lovely, that. That would just be fantastic. I'd like to see that, to be fair. Yeah. But keep trying to sell the paintings. All right, keep doing that, because the great artists have to go through the tough times as well. So you keep on doing that. Don't you give up your boss.
Oh, thanks very much, Ronnie. You've always been an encouraging soul. I appreciate it.
I'm
going to have to go and put some adverts on and stuff so that I can...
Oh, damn it, you're still selling your soul yet.
Well, I mean, I'm just putting the adverts on because the paintings aren't shifting as fast as I'd like. When the paintings start shifting, we can forget about the adverts. So nice to hear from you, Ronnie. Seriously, love you to bits. And we'll speak again, right?
Love you.
Take care of yourself. Bye. Ronnie Barber is incredible. Ronnie Barber. I will put a link to his podcast on my Twitter, which is Flipping Cath, by the way, if you want to look me up as soon as possible. So, we've got Lee, we've got Jack. I've still got room for you if you want to give me a ring. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000's number to ring. Let's go to Lee. Hi, Lee.
Hello.
Hello, what's going on?
I was just wondering, what's up with Ian?
Nothing, he's having a week off. I can hear myself coming back. Am I still on your room? Can you turn your radio off?
Hang on. Is that better?
So much better. Yeah, nothing up with him at all. Don't worry about him. What's going on with you?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm okay. I was just phoning up. I'd been watching Little Boy Blue.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Little Boy Blue?
No, tell me about it.
It's the story of the shooting in Liverpool.
Go on.
Mercer, apparently. I don't know the actual outcome, but...
Okay. Do you want to watch the rest of it and then give me a ring back, Lee?
Yeah, sure.
Take care. Bye-bye. 03444991000. Hi, Jack.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you keeping?
I'm not too bad. 2 months lockdown, can't stand my partner, and absolutely desperate to get out and get a haircut.
Oh, I see. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is your hair at the moment?
It's 1973.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, right, everyone's going to be the same. When we come out of this, we're all going to be a lot more shaggy than we're used to.
No, I get that. And I have a proud thing where I'm not going to cut it. I did actually try and hack at it, the fringe, just because right. In the office it would be so bad. But ultimately, it's shaggy and huge at the back, and it's a nightmare. But right. I'm not going to cut it now, because I kind of think it's a badge of honour.
Yeah, do you know what? It kind of is. We're all working through it. It's difficult on the hot days, though, isn't it, having a mullet?
Say again?
I said it's difficult on hot days having a mullet, though, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Well, carry on, soldier. Everyone appreciates your efforts.
So, can I not hear you properly?
Hello?
Is this Catherine?
Hello?
Hello?
Bye, Jack.
Hi.
Goodbye. 03444991000. I've got loads of stuff to talk to you about. I discovered today that my garden is haunted. Well, not my garden, the swing. Swing. And I'll tell you why. Right, here we go. So my daughter, my eldest daughter, is a tiny thing, and she was on the swing. And I was just closing my eyes, sitting in one of the chairs in the back garden for a bit, and I realised that the swing was talking to me, and this is going to sound nuts, but it was definitely talking, and there was a voice in the sound of the swing, and the voice was talking to me. And I'm just wondering if you could check for me. What do you hear, right? What is it saying? Do you hear it? Let's do it again. Oh, 03444991000. What did that swing say? One more, right? I'll do you one more. Because it's... once you hear it, you can't unhear it. There you go. Spooky, huh? I know. Goosebumps. 03444991000. M&M's put his phone number online. I don't know if any one of you have given him a ring yet, but apparently you can. This is from the New York Post. Rapper M&M has released his cell phone number to legions of fans. Cell phone, translation, mobile phone, everyone. Okay? Legions of fans who call themselves Stans after his 2000 hit single, which was called Stan. And he invites them to text. And I'm going to give you this number, and it's not even illegal to do so because he wants you to phone him, right? Inviting them to text 313-666-7440. That's 313-666-7440. The real Slim Shady, he's not the real Slim Shady. I think his name's Marshall Mathers, but he's calling himself the real Slim Shady. That's just what he does, part of what he does. Wrote, text me, I'll hit you back, in Instagram and Twitter posts, both of which quickly went viral. The 47-year-old is dropping his digits, which sounds nasty, but what he means is giving you his phone number. 2 decades after releasing his third album, the Marshall Mathers LP, which remains one of the fastest-selling albums ever, Billboard reports. Dear Stan, what was Five's album? That was a good one, wasn't it? Dear Stan, I meant to write you sooner, but just been busy, writes Eminem in his caption, another reference to his own song called Stan, which chronicles the spiralling and murder-suicide of a fictitious superfan named Stanley Mitchell. It's too late for him, but everyone else can shoot a message and receive this back. Yo, it's M. Hit the link to get at it. 47-year-old man should not be saying, yo, it's M, should he? Hit the link to get added to my contact. I'll be back with the plans for this week. Eminem, is referencing the online listening party scheduled this week to celebrate the anniversary of the Marshall Mathers LP. His response includes a link where eager stans can add themselves to his contact list and presumably get updates on the encore rappers' concerts and events. Oh, hang on a minute. I've just read an article that's basically an advert for his new album. Oh, you... Eminem isn't the first A-lister to invite texts and calls from followers. I don't think it's going straight to his back pocket. I'm going to say it. I think this might be a little bit of theatre. Amy Schumer, Jennifer Lopez and Paul McCartney are also using mobile phones through a fan engagement platform called Community to stay in touch. The area code on Eminem's line is for Dearborn, Michigan. The rapper is famously from Detroit and as of this morning had a full box of voicemails. Well, check him out. That's what I call success in 2020. 03444991000. Hey Naomi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well, thank you. It's so nice to be able to talk to you without that fella in between us.
I know, he's always kind of messing about with things. Kind of messing up equilibrium, I think.
Exactly, and everyone knows it's really just about you and me. Why are you calling me tonight, Naomi?
Well, I feel like it's very simple and stupid after your previous callers, which I've really enjoyed. But do you remember Slush Puppy?
I do remember Slush Puppies. I always wanted them and I was never really allowed them.
Right. So I was really excited when this place opened today, actually. I was surprised it would even open and all was going on, but it sells Slush Puppies. What's your favourite flavour?
I like the blue ones. I don't know what that flavour is supposed to be. Raspberry?
It's supposed to be raspberry, but we all know raspberry is not blue. So how does that work?
I don't know. I think it's an elaborate ruse, Naomi, and I fell for it. I really wanted the blue one. It just seemed like such an exotic colour.
Mr. Frosty.
Now there's another one, right? That is one of those toys I always really wanted and my parents would never let me have. A friend of mine, when we got into our 20s, decided that he was going to seize the moment of being a grown-up and not having to ask permission, and he bought one. And do you know what, Naomi? It was crap. Yeah. It was crap.
I'm sure it was. But why is the blue, which it's supposed to be for raspberry, but why is it blue? That's my question. Because it always is. And I don't really understand it.
Exactly. Maybe because strawberry, I don't know, strawberry's copyrighted red.
Well, strawberry's like got the core of the market in red, but I think raspberry should be a little pink. Or is that peach?
Possibly, but I think there's room. There's room in the shade chart for something a little bit more towards the red side of things.
I would say that raspberry is better than strawberry, really, if I'm honest.
Definitely more sophisticated. We need to sort this out, Naomi. I don't know whether we could do one of those petitions, number 10. I know they're a little bit busy at the moment, but frankly, they're probably glad of the distraction.
No. Well, if Dominic Cummings can drive to Durham, he can figure out which colour raspberry is, to be honest with you.
Stop the deception.
Do you remember the Cola Pops when they had it? Was the blue or they had the kind of thing which was like lemonade? And then the cream soda, which was the same colour, clear. Do you remember that, or are you too young for this?
No, I do. And I know that Ian is a big fan of cream soda. He's probably the only one left, but he is quite old.
I hate it.
It's like melted ice cream, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. But I thought it was lemonade once, and I bought it from my local shop, but it was cream soda. It was disgusting. It ruins the day. So I'm glad that you're on board with us.
I'm definitely on board of it. And I do you know who I blame for all of these things?
No.
Perverts.
Yeah, you're quite right, actually.
Perverts. What kind of person would mislead the nation into thinking something blue was a raspberry? A pervert, that's who. Who would do something like put a fizzy drink in a glass, a see-through one, right? So we all think it's lemonade, and it turns out to be that filth. A pervert.
Perfect, and it's cream soda. Did you look at the name of it? Cream soda. They don't mix at all, do they?
No, disgusting. I'm so glad you've highlighted that, and I think it's something that needed to be said. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. More power to you.
Naomi. More power to you. Thank you.
344-499-1000. If you want to come on and vent your spleen about something really, really minor, this is the right place. 0344-499-1000. Paul is on the line. Paul, I hope that you're not coming to me with another deception or a disappointment.
I hope not. Rabbit Run's a good song by Eminem.
Yeah.
Quite encouraging. It's a bit of a cracker, that one. That can get you going. That's a good one to listen to.
Yeah. You're a fan, Marshall Mathers?
Early stuff, yeah. But, yeah, early stuff.
Where'd you stand on Shaggy?
Shagging?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Did you say Shagging or Shaggy?
Shaggy. We know where you stand on Shagging, I can guess.
Sorry, I misheard. Shaggy, what the Jamaican fella?
Well, I don't think he is Jamaican, is he? Let's look him up, because I've heard him speak, and I think he does a voice. He's one of those. I think he's got a singing.
Oh, right. It's definitely that sort of music, the barbecues and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm with you. Lovely this week, spending the weather.
He is Jamaican. You're right. I stand corrected. Thank you, Paul, for raising that.
That's not a problem. I was very moved yesterday. I was listening to the show yesterday, but and what you're saying about near enough, you know, being able to see your mum.
Yeah.
Day and age, and well, I'm a big fan of you and Ian, and you've obviously he's definitely, I'm a big fan of his, and he's doing a lot of his stuff, you know, to make his kids proud. Yeah. And I can imagine your mum's very proud of you. But like you two are together on this show. I hope you realise how much hope it gives to her. People, yeah, like myself, it's so funny sometimes when I listen to you, because you must have a right laugh when you get off air. But
we
even
do.
When I'm listening to you, honestly, mate, you two, again, there's nothing better in this world than two good pals doing what they love and, yeah, just having a great time doing it, you know. So, yeah, I'm a massive, massive fan.
Paul, you're such a sweetheart. Thank you for that. That's really lovely. You know, and it's nice to hear. I think that sometimes people think that we don't need to have a little pat on the back now and again, and I flipping do, I tell you, especially at the moment. Nice. So nice, thank you, I appreciate it. I've got a question for you, though.
Go for it.
Where'd you stand on Shagging?
Can I just recommend you another song, which is what I meant to do? There's a song by Bush called Glycerine. And sometimes when I listen to this show, Bush, I've said Bush now, you've said Shagging, I don't know if I said it. Listen, it wasn't...
hang on a second. Here we go. There we go. I mean, that's what's required.
What, the bill? Oh, thank you. What, first time caller? Hey,
no,
there you go.
Double filth. Go on, what were you saying?
yeah, that's a good song as well. And, what was I actually going to say? The fact that you're both well funny, you must have a great laugh when you come offline. But there's things that I've over the last year that I've been listening to, and that there's some really troubled souls that come on here, and it's like the way you both deal with them together. I mean, you must be... Ian must love you because, you know, you've got that reassuring tone in your voice, let's just say. So you bounce off each other and that, and you must have a laugh. But, yeah, there's some troubled souls in it. And the way you've dealt with it, but also always having a good laugh, you've made me crack up, the two of you. You really have. And I thought, I've got to look into these two a little bit. And I went onto YouTube and I watched the... there was a little video that the two of you done where you start trying to explain the premise of the show.
Yeah.
And that, you know, how you have to help people out, but you also still want to have a laugh. You don't have to be all serious all the time. But obviously, at the top of the show, so I don't want to be talking about this Dominic Cummings guy all night, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I do. I tune into this. The first song that comes on, right, here, we're going to have a good night. And, it's great listening to the two of you. And, I'm just a fan.
Oh, you're lovely. Thanks very much, Paul. I really appreciate it. I've got to go to the news, otherwise I could let you blow smoke all night long. 0344-499-1000. You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm Catherine Boyle.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
4999 1000. What a tune. I love this woman so much. 72 years old today. I would still swap places with her in a heartbeat. My God, what a woman. Do you know what? I'm resigned to the fact I'm never going to see Fleetwood Mac live, because when they do get together and when they can stand to be in a room together, the prices of the tickets are ridiculous. But I did see the most amazing Fleetwood Mac tribute band. And before you roll your eyes, some of these tribute bands are so good, and actually probably better than Fleetwood Mac on some of their nights when they were heavily under the influence. But these people are like consummate musicians. They spend ages working out the mannerisms. They were so good. They're called Fleetwood Back, which I think should get them points as well. And I've seen them twice. I saw them years and years ago before I had kids, so it must have been about 13 years ago. And I saw them last year, was it? Maybe the year before. Incredible. And in fact, they were with a Tom Petty tribute. That's right. What were they called? Let me look it up. Fleetwood Back. And what are they called? Too Petty were amazing as well. Just wonderful. So if you get the chance, once this is all over, and I don't know whether maybe they're doing stuff on Zoom. Oh my God, they would be wonderful. I must look those guys up. 0344 499 1000. Let's have a word with Sloop John B. Sloop John B.
She likes the way that I dance. She likes the way that I move. She likes the way that I rock. She likes the way that I woo. Sorry, I wanted to give you a bit of pop smoke there, Catherine.
Love it. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's Dior, what was lacking. Dior,
man. Yes, exactly, man. Listen, by the way, on Fleetwood Mac front, yeah. I heard Gypsy recently. I didn't know that was them. I never thought they were a good band, and I heard Gypsy, and I was blown away. It's a tune, isn't it?
It's beautiful. They've done so many wonderful, wonderful songs. And yeah, I grew up with them being like a dad band, basically. They were Tango in the Night, as far as I were concerned. But you read the stuff about them. I mean, it's a miracle most of them are still alive.
I saw a documentary about them, so stuff to do with the White Lines. We'll leave it there, you know.
Yeah. But the other thing is, like, rumours, thank God they couldn't talk to each other, because the fact was they were shooting messages back and forth in those songs. And also, what a ridiculous situation where you're reading your ex writing what a tosser you are, and you're quite, well, maybe not happy to record it, but you make some of the best music of your life around it. And it becomes like part of your legacy. Incredible stuff.
It's crazy. It's crazy, you know. So I'm definitely a fan now. I've been told I have to get Tusk, apparently. So
right, Tusk is one of those, right? So the record executives were expecting something like Rumours. They wanted that again. But, of course, they've all moved on in their lives at this point. Also, Lindsey Buckingham has descended into, you know, just, well, I say descended. He's gone up his own jacksie. This is, like, covered in this book, that book I mentioned by Caroline Harris.
Okay.
And she talks about him, you know, lying under tables, under different surfaces, trying to get certain sounds and stuff and having to record straight away. And it was like super experimental stuff, and apparently when they played them Tusk in the record executive's office, it was like silence. This is not what we asked for at all. I love Tusk so much; it's one of my favourite of their songs, but it certainly was not what was expected of them.
Well, I've been told it's quite good, so I'm going to get it. I've got Rumours, and I love that, so I'll start working my way down.
Well, don't expect Rumours, is what I'm saying to you.
No.
And bear in mind the context. You could do worse than reading that book. I don't know. Like I say, I don't know how much of it's true and how much of it's exaggerated, but it's a hell of a story.
Well, listen, I'll look into it, but I've got a couple of things for you, right?
And go on.
The first one's brief, but do you remember we spoke about R. Kelly? Do you remember that and all of that stuff a while back?
Yeah.
Now, I've got to be very careful. I've got my producer head on here, so you're going to understand why I'm going to be vague. There was some very serious rumours going around about someone I admire.
Right.
And I met somebody a couple of weeks ago who experienced this firsthand.
Right.
Another person told me, we'll leave it there, but I'm now having to really sort of think about, do I still go on being a fan?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So maybe it'd be something else we could talk about at another time.
Okay. It's definitely one. It is one that a lot of us struggle with. I was a big Morrissey fan.
Yeah, and he's just turned into, well, an idiot, really. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinions, but not for me, thank you very much.
No, and for a while I was hoping he was just being morose and ridiculous because that was kind of part of the persona, but then I realised he means it.
But do you not think they were clues in the lyrics, Catherine? Have you ever heard the one about, you're the one for me, fatty, and stuff like
that?
Yeah,
like, yeah, but a lot of it was kind of... A lot of it was... A lot of it was pointed and slightly derogatory, you know, Bucktooth Girl from Luxembourg, all that sort of stuff. But I thought it was more about him than it was about other people. And I'm not even bothered about that, to be honest. It's more the sort of racist stuff. Anyway.
I think he's guilty of what a lot of, maybe the stuff that I've heard about someone, is that when people get to a certain point, there's no telling them anymore. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, what, that whole celebrity culture.
But he strikes me that he's always been like that, an awkward sod, and he was celebrated for it for a long time, but now...
But, you know, sooner or later, these things come to the light. But listen, I've got something really funny I thought I'd tell you, basically. Right? So I've been working hard. I've got some time off now, which is great. So while everyone's climbing the walls of lockdown, I'm absolutely loving it. I've got all my books out and films and everything. Right? Even though we all know it's pretty much over now. But, you know,
well,
have you ever heard about
it isn't, but some people are carrying on like it is, yeah.
Well, just to add something, this person who I'd heard stuff about has defied it, or we'll leave it there as well. But you ever heard about the 6 degrees of separation?
Yes, the Kevin Bacon effect.
Yes. I've had that with another caller. And we've had a correspondence just talking about sort of calling up the show and stuff like that. And I've just had my mind blown. We basically grew up 2 streets away from each other, literally. A couple of streets away. Went to the same primary school, had the same teachers. And this is the best bit. He worked with one of my best mates for 2 years.
Good grief. All right. Well, here's the thing. Do you believe that... Do you believe that that is destined to happen, that at some point your paths were going to cross, or do you think that's coincidence?
Well, it's a tricky one because London is quite a big place. And, you know, maybe it's just one of those things, but sometimes it's just one of those, you know, we're both into the same sorts of things. So it was just, maybe that was bound to happen. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, it is, but it's just so strange when you're talking to someone. And for a long time when we were talking, we didn't mention any of this stuff. It was literally like, oh, how do you find when you talk to Ian here, or what's cow? You know, just little things, nothing nasty. Yeah. Just talking.
What's Kath like? Massive cow.
Stuff like, just what's it like having to call up? Because it does take quite a lot to do it sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
of course
what I mean?
It does. I would never. I don't think I'd dare do it.
Do you know what I mean? I tell you what, I can actually put it into what it feels like to call up, right? Because people are going, I couldn't do it. It feels like climbing a ladder, a really tall ladder up to the top of a house. If anyone ever knows what they're talking about, like if you had to change an aerial on top of a house, it's something like, I can do this, but this is, you're going to have to focus on what you're doing here. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
And it can be tricky. And sometimes, if I'm being honest as well, the thing that I found is sometimes it's a bit like, you know when comedians talk about bombing?
Yes.
Like sometimes you can have a call and you walk away and you go, yeah, man, I smashed it. And other times you come away and go, that wasn't so good. Do you see what I mean? But for me, because I write and stuff, I've got hopes of maybe one day becoming a published author. And a lot of that would be doing sort of reading publicly, which I've done.
Yeah.
So as much as I love talking to you guys, and a lot of it for me is also just a bit of confidence building and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I hope this call's gone all right tonight.
Well, I'd give it a strong 8 out of 10.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'd
gone fine. In what other walk of life would you have a conversation? Well, maybe you do. I used to be that sort of person. I would have a conversation with someone, then afterwards go, well, how did that go? Was that the best I could have done? But it's not a performance. We're just having a conversation. I wouldn't worry about it.
Nah, it's a laugh. And I'll tell you where I stand as well, is that like, I love the show. You guys know that. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I stumbled across it purely by accident. And for me, a lot of it is just wanting to contribute. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Because I like it. And it's a bit like, you know, if you're in a pub and you're with people and stuff, and it's like, look, let me get my round of drinks in. So if I sing down the phone or do silly stuff and stuff like that, it's about sort of, you know, trying to put something in. But I'm also very aware is that sometimes I've called up a bit too much. I'm like, I'm producing myself to a degree, going, yo, well, John, eat that, man, because you know what I mean?
That's completely, I can understand how you would feel like that. But if it ever got to that point, and sometimes, you know, with certain callers that do ring up a lot, we do say to them, you know, not tonight. But it's never a personal thing. And we'll always speak to them again. It's just, you know, it's just so that we've got something to talk about. You know, it's the same thing as having...
Because you and me, it feels like we're just having a phone call, right? But when you really think about it, it's like we're stood on a stage in front of like loads of people having that conversation.
Oh, but you mustn't think of it like that, because
I
thought of it like that, I would go nuts. That's how I used to think of it when I first started out in radio. And you, it's terrifying, and you will freeze, because who are you trying to please?
Yeah.
All you can do, and what people appreciate, I think... You know, if they listen to the show for long enough, they realise that this isn't an act, this is what I sound like, this is how I am. Ian, you know, messes about and stuff, but you know that essentially what his spirit is through listening to this show. And we're not doing a thing, you know?
Can I tell you what the difference is, though, between you and Ian, which I've known, and not in a bad way, this is in a good way. You're a lot more straightforward to talk to in terms of, like, you pull more out of the caller in terms of talking. What I love about Ian is... He's kind of like, talking to him is like trying to hold a jelly without a plate, and that's where the entertainment is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what I love calling, because I'll be in there, and sometimes it's like the Battle of the Woods. I'm like, right, I'm going to talk to Ian. And I go on there, and then suddenly the call ends. I'm like, I didn't get, you know, and that's what the entertainment is, because he obviously sees it coming a mile off.
He's a puppy, that's why. I think he's more of a puppy than I am. I don't know. I was talking to him last night, and I said, you know, I find it really, really difficult to not show that maybe I'm the kind of more boring one, you know, the supply teacher that everyone kind of... But I know that that's not the case, but that's, you know, my energy is different. He went, yeah, our energies are different. We're different people, you know, and the shows that we do on our own are different from the shows we do together, and that's groovy, and people get it. And
it's,
you know what,
variation.
If they don't get it, then that's fine. It's not compulsory listening.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, each to their own, man. But it's sounding good at the moment, Catherine. I really like it. And can I give a shout out to my brother from another mother? The 6 degrees of separation, dude.
Go on, then. Oh, just this once, but you know what we like about shout outs.
Andrew, I've made my call. Now it's over to you, brother. All right, Kath? Thank you.
0344 499 1000. That was Sloop. Let's have a word with Nigel. Hey, Nigel, what's going on with you?
Oh, hi, Catherine. Let's go through the keyhole. I'm just joking.
You keep away from my keyhole. Have you?
Let's go through the keyhole. Well, I'm in the kitchen now. I was in the front room. Now I'm in the kitchen.
All right. Okay. You're in the place where it's got maximum reception.
That's the best place for the signal, isn't it?
Perfect. Perfect. What can we do for you tonight, Nigel?
We're rung up to sing a song in a minute. But we've had glorious weather, haven't we, since that epidemic?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's related. I think it's more to do with the fact it's getting on summer. But yeah, we've had the paddling pool out today and everything.
It's been unbelievably hot this afternoon. So I cycled into Maidstone to get to, you know, food parcel.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't get me still getting my food parcels, and it was unbelievable. I had my shorts on, but I was still hot. It was unbelievably hot.
You go careful on that bike in this heat. It's too hot. Yeah. Could you not hang on?
I know, it's too hot to cycle, really. But I've got a new girlfriend in Maidstone as well, which I saw yesterday and today.
Oh, blimey.
Not a young one, but sort of middle-aged white girl. But I've got a phone number and everything. But there's nowhere to take you, see, because all the cafes and pubs are shut. Yeah. There's nowhere to go for a meal.
You can stand 2 metres apart and have a chat, though.
I know, we sat together yesterday, quite close. She's not bothered about it. She couldn't care less, she said, about it.
Yeah, but I'm bothered about you getting it, Nigel.
Yeah, I wasn't that close to her, but I mean, I shook hands with her before I left her, you know,
well,
as I do.
Okay, well, I hope you washed them afterwards.
Yeah, I always do when I get home. I've got to spend a lot of money on my bike at the moment because there's a lot. I've worn it out going out so much, you know.
I bet. But do you never think just
to get the food? Sorry, I was important to get the food parcel if I'm able to get it, though, isn't it?
Of course it was, but do you not think it would be easier if you were to walk it, especially in this heat?
No. I took all the afternoon to do 12 miles, but still 12 miles.
Blimey, Nigel. 12 miles.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, but I'm used to it, cycling anyway. So I was going to say, on Twitter, Nigel Reader Free, I just put it on the top of that page, Nigel Reader Free Twitter, a film of me singing at Christmas time on stage in a cafe in Maidstone, if anyone wants to have a look. It's got a Christmas tree in the background. I've got a red jacket, a Father Christmas jacket on, and I'm singing with Tom on the piano. And I had a round of applause at the end of my song, so it was like a gig, really.
Quite right, too. What are you going to sing for us tonight, Nigel?
Well, the song I did in this video, Misty.
You can sit down.
You know, a cappella. Yeah, I haven't done this one for ages, so I thought I'd have a go at it. I mean, I might be
go
a bit
on,
rusty.
Then.
Might be a bit rusty with it, but it's better with
should
the
should be a bit misty.
Okay,
go on.
It might be
on.
A bit misty. Don't start me off. I was going to do Mrs. Doubtfire when they come on and go, hello, this is Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello, Catherine, have you had a good day? Have you got sunburn?
Wow. No, I haven't got sunburn, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Have you been sitting in the garden, Catherine?
Yes, I
could. I could have gone all night with that one, couldn't I? But it sounds more like Dame Everidge, doesn't it, than...
No, she's a bit more, hello, possums, what a lovely impression you're doing.
I had to put a bit more into it for that, though.
Yeah.
Hello, possums. Hello, possums.
Beautiful.
Something like that.
It's uncanny. Yeah.
It's in between the high and the low, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's a bit more like that. And, what was her bridesmaid called? Marge. Yeah, but he's a fella.
Mm.
Madge. Oh, Madge.
She was good, wasn't she, though? She was good down there for Edbridge. I look at her on YouTube a lot. There's all recordings of her old shows and things.
I thought she was wonderful, darlings. I mean that most sincerely.
Is that real? That sounds really good. Amazing.
Thanks. Thanks. It's one of the first impressions I ever did. I think most of us did.
Mm.
You know, like blokes do. Blokes always do Frank. You do Frank Spencer, don't you?
Oh, Frank Spencer. I always got a round of applause for doing that on. Yeah, at some places.
Well, exactly, because in the 80s, they were the impressions that you did. Anyway,
well, Betty,
give us a song, Nigel. I thought you weren't going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to sing Misty now, Betty. All right. I won't have a bit of trouble.
And the whoopsie on the carpet.
I'll try and do it properly. Betty. Here we go. This is Misty then.
Two, three, four.
Okay, one, two, three, four. Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. And I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand. Walk my way. And a thousand violins begin to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello. That music I hear, I get misty the moment you're near. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Nigel. Oxby 444991000. We'll take a little break so we can digest that. And then we'll speak to Lorna, Sean or Dean. Who could it be? Could be you if you want to give me a ring now. 0344 499 1000.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Let's have a quick word with Lorna. Hello, Lorna.
Hi there, Kath. Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to say thank you for playing the Stevie Nicks song.
Oh.
At 10 o'clock, I thought it was my phone ringing because I've got that as my ringtone.
What a song that is.
And so then Rooms on Fire is up there in my top two or three.
I love her so much. She's so cool.
Oh, I do. And I don't know if, well, I used to, back in the day, have decks and whatnot. And so I had the 12-inch of Rooms on Fire. And on the back of that is a track called Alice. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
No, I must have a listen.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah, if you can find that on YouTube, it is worth a listen. It's a beautiful song. And that along with Has Anyone Ever Written Anything For You? Have you heard that?
No, I'm going to look them all up. I was more of a kind of... I got to her through Fleetwood Mac, so the solo stuff I haven't really explored, but I just find her wonderful and inspirational and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
And you know, anyone who can wear a shawl and still look hot gets my vote.
especially with the top hat as well.
Oh, the top hat as well. I mean, it's anyone else, it would be too many clothes. But with her, it's just right.
So thank you.
You're welcome. How are you doing? You all right?
I am. It's my son's birthday tomorrow. He'll be 34, which is great. But, like, for me, the remembrance of his birthday... is actually, it took me all of the 26, I was in labour, and then it was only like at midnight that there were like emergency C-section to get him out at 1 o'clock in the morning.
So, is that your first baby?
It was my only one, yeah. It was supposed to be the first of five, but that never worked out.
Oh, me sorry.
No, it's all right, but, only just because I didn't meet the right man, but
no,
I got the right
man. But that experience, good. That experience, though, when you know you've never had a baby before, is quite something, isn't it? I remember after I'd had my first daughter, I thought, I kind of understand my mum a lot more. I understand my grandma. I felt like I was kind of connected to this sort of secret women's club all of a sudden, and kind of understood why my mum would say things like, you'll never know how much I love you, you'll never get it, you know, and it's that thing of the worst experience and the best experience of your life in one day.
That's it, exactly, yeah. So today is always one of those days in the year, and I can't believe that I've been a Stevie fan all this long and never celebrated her birthday on the 26th. But I also think it's because she's a Gemini. That's probably why, one of the reasons I feel connected to her as well, which is daft.
Oh, you're a Gemini, are you?
No, I'm a Libra, but we both have that duality going on, Geminis and Libras. Because you've got the twins of Gemini, and then you've got the two scales to balance in Libra.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a cynic when it comes to the horoscopes, but I know a lot of people hold with it.
Oh, it's a lot of mumbo-jumbo, I know, really, but...
I think one thing that they do really well is that they make everyone feel like they're a bit more special than real life makes them feel.
Exactly.
And everyone, when you read the horoscope descriptions, everyone can see a bit of themselves. I mean, if you were to read any of them, you'd see yourself in them, wouldn't you? But
of course,
it's a bit of fun. It's a bit of fun, yeah. I suppose.
It is.
So nice to hear from you, Lorna. Well, what are you going to do about your boy's birthday tomorrow? You're not together, I take it?
Well, no, because he's working. So, and then he'll be seeing he's got two little lads himself now. So yeah. I'm in that position of I'm not allowed to see them at the moment because I've got to isolate and stuff. But
yeah.
So I'm just doing all week really, just chilling, listening to music and doing a bit of planting, having to grow some vegetables and things.
Well, that's good. So. Do you know, I think that gardening is one of the most optimistic things you can do. Because you're
well, it's a boring now.
You're getting ready for
ages.
You do. but you're sowing seeds and you're preparing the ground for something that's going to come in the future. It's going to be brilliant, and you can sit out and enjoy it.
Yeah, hopefully.
I bet your garden's lovely. Mine's a state.
Yeah.
Mine's a state. It's like Friar Tuck's Head at the moment because we've had a paddling pool in the middle of it for so long that it's kind of worn all the grass away.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it got to the point where we thought, should we sort this grass out? And we went, nah, let's get the paddling pool back out.
Yeah.
We're not going to have little kids for a long time. You might as well just let them enjoy the garden. It's theirs.
Exactly. So, but no, you're doing a grand job, Bertie, you and Ian, but I like it when you're on your own as well.
Thanks, Lorna. That's really kind of you. So. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you
and,
too.
And listen to more Stevie.
I'm going to
explore those two titles you gave me as well. Oh,
I'm
it's good.
Read that book because when I started to look for some books to read on them, after having watched various documentaries, there's that many books. It's like, well, which one do I want to read?
Yeah.
But that sounds like the one I do want to read.
And some of them are a bit dry, you know. There was a Stevie one that I really liked the look of, and it was a little bit dry. But that one, I mean, this one is like a soap opera. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's a page turner. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I am. I don't want to make you jealous, but I have been lucky enough to see them live twice in the past 15 years. Yeah.
I bet it was incredible, wasn't it?
Oh man, yeah. First time was, I don't know, about 2006, 2007, when Lindsay joined the group again, just after Stevie had rejoined.
Yeah.
And that was lovely. And then, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, no, it was at the NEC the last time I saw them, yeah.
Right.
It's not the NEC, I know that now, but, yeah.
Yeah. And with Stevie and Lindsay doing the whole, you know, sizzling and...
Yeah.
They're so good at that, aren't they? They're so good.
They are. And back in the day, in about... I know when it was 20 years ago, 22 years ago, 1998, I saw Fleetwood back.
And oh, they're good, aren't they?
I hadn't seen Fleetwood Mac live up until before then. And... I just laughed though because I didn't realise how much of a pastiche like there were, like Stevie and Lindsay going to it. Oh, hey Stevie, hey, you know, and getting into it. I was laughing. But
and Mick Fleetwood's faces, and when he's doing his drums are hilarious as well. I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah, they are. So they do, like you said, they're good musicians. They can portray the songs well. A bit like Nigel, really, aren't they?
Yeah, in so many ways. Except their impersonations are slightly better than Nigel's, but they've had more practice, I guess.
More recognisable,
Nice to speak to you, Lorna.
You too.
Oh, you're welcome. It's so nice to hear your voice. You take care of yourself.
Hey, bye-bye.
Night-night. 0344 499 1000. What time is it? Let's have a quick word with Sean, and maybe we'll have a break after that. Hello, Sean.
Is this speaking to me or not? Hello?
Hello, Sean. What's going on with you?
Hello. I just wondered if you were seeing the current situation in the night sky at the moment, where I've seen about 15 different lights, for calling in for the unexplained, 15 different lights in the sky at the moment. I can't explain what they are. I don't know whether they have UFOs or whether they're currently supposed to be in the sky or not.
I Okay, because I've been a bit busy, so let me have a look at that.
I spoke to my neighbour, I did, and my neighbour told me that he doesn't know what they are, and he thinks that they're probably unidentified objects in the sky. So I just wondered what's happening at the moment.
Okay, let's have a look. I'm just going to get in touch with NASA.
I tell you what, they're small, like a small white light in the sky at the moment, and you can see them separated apart, but when you look out your window, you can see them out there, the white lights in the sky, and I just, they're probably unexplained at the moment. Is Howard there, Howard available at the moment to speak to?
Probably, but he's not working tonight, so, but thanks very much for calling, Sean.
No, I'm speaking with, Howard Hughes.
He's not working tonight.
He replaces Ian Lee during the weekday. I just want to speak to him.
No, he doesn't. I'm replacing Ian Lee. You're on air now? No. No.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello? I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. I just looking to speak with Howard Hughes, who replaces Ian Lee in the weekday, regarding the unexplained objects in the sky at the moment.
I know, Sean, but he's not replacing him this week. It's me. I'm Catherine Boyle, and I'm replacing him this week.
What's your name?
It's Catherine.
Hello?
Bye, Sean.
I don't know if you can hear me anymore. Hello?
I can hear you perfectly. Yep. Good night, Sean. Dear me. Let's have a word with Dean in Oxford. Hello, Dean.
Caught me by surprise.
Dean.
Hello. Yeah. How are you?
Hello. I sneaked up on you. I'm all right, thanks. How are you keeping?
You did sneak up on me. I thought I'd come after the break, but never mind.
I thought that conversation was going to go differently.
Yeah. I was just ringing up, and so I haven't spoken in a while, and I was just saying I've successfully done one painting. Work Twitter properly. I can't get stuff to tweet. And I was going to tweet you one, and I thought, I can't get it to work. I'll keep testing it eventually.
What part of Twitter are you having problems with?
I can type a message and everything.
Yeah.
But when I go to tweet it, it just won't go.
All right, here we go. Let me help you out. Have you got your... you're on your phone now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Hmm. You haven't got a landline, have you?
I'm on the landline.
Cool. Have you got your...
mobile.
Are you tweeting on a mobile phone or are you tweeting on a computer?
On a computer.
All right. Can you go to your computer now?
Hang on a sec. I can't.
I'll talk you through it.
It's not on at the moment, but I don't know.
Listen, Dean, We've got nothing but time. We're all locked down. No one's going out.
All right.
Let's help you get this tweet sent.
All right, hang on a second then. Switch the system on.
Tell you what, we'll have a break and we'll come back to you once your computer's on. Stay there.
Brilliant. Okay.
I'll be right back, all right? 03444991000. I'm about to show a man how to send a tweet. What did you do today to make you feel proud?
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Well, it's just me, but the show is reassuringly shambolic, so nothing's changed on that score. If you want to give me a ring, 03444991000. We are in the business here of educating and entertaining, and right now I'm about to help Dean in Oxford hop on the information superhighway and send his first tweet. Dean, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here, Kath.
You're standing by. Are you...
And I'm just... I've got my tweeting page up thing.
You got your tweeting page up. Right, we're in business. What are we sending?
Well, I just want to send a message first.
So who are you sending the message to? Me?
And then I'll put some pictures together.
Right, first of all, get out of the messages.
Later on, yeah, in the week.
Right. All right, here we go. Don't send a message. What you want to do is send a tweet. Because right. You're not in the bit where it's got an envelope, are you?
No, this is just my main front page.
Then we're in the right place.
What's happening?
We're, All right, we're in the right place. Tell you what you do.
Yeah.
Send a tweet to me and I will retweet it so everyone will see it that follows okay. me. How about that? Okay, so what you need to do is, can you find the at sign?
The at sign? No.
It might be over your number two if you press shift.
If I press shift?
Yeah, you know that curly A?
Yeah. I've got the at sign, yeah.
Right, whack that on. Then you need to put flipping FL.
Well, nothing's happening, Cass.
Oh, hang on. So did you press... Hang on, let me...
Do I have to press what's happening or something?
Yes.
Right, okay. And then do...
Now, have you...
At,
yeah. Yeah, at. And then flipping FLIPPIN.
Sorry, FL?
IPPIN.
PPIN, flipping.
Calf, and then it's... Calf, still part of the same word after the curly A. And it's K.
K-A-T-H.
No, it's just K-A-T-H. Exactly. Now, when you press the space bar, that should go a different colour.
Oh, no.
All right, don't matter.
It's gone blue.
That's perfect. Now, write me a message. Write me a message. This is my first tweet, or.
Straight after your name, is it?
Once that's blue and you've got a space bar. In between, you are hot to trot. You can write whatever you want within a certain number of characters. But
sorry.
Yeah, go on. Write me a message.
Right. Is it just, I've got flipping cap up at the moment.
That's it. That's me. So as soon as you write a message and you press send, I'll get that.
Right. Hang on then.
This is exciting. This is like receiving a message from Mars.
Right, and then I send tweet, do I?
You send tweet.
Oh.
Is it gone?
Yeah. I think so. It's gone off my... Anyway.
Hang on. It's not come yet. This is exciting. Oh. No. Yeah. What's your name on there?
There's Jay Gunthert.
Say it again.
It's at Gunthert. I think it might be underscore. No, not underscore. The other one.
Hyphen.
Underneath. It's got at Gunthert.
Duntut? At Duntut?
Gunthert. G-U-N.
Yeah.
T-E-R-T.
Yep.
Then dash J.
Hmm. Does it say Des J. Gunthert?
No, in front of it, yeah.
That's you?
That's me.
Oh, I see you. Oxford, England. Right, let's see what you've sent that tweet. Hello, my dear friend. I can see it.
Yes, got it. All right.
We have liftoff.
That's fine, then. And right. When I send a picture, do I send it in that GIF, GIF thing?
Right, no. A GIF is like you can choose lots of different kind of moving, small video clips that they've already done. What you need to do is, right, let me see. So if I was to do you a tweet, I would put, you hit the blue tweet thing, right? And I've got your thing there. You see at the bottom, there's like... a mountain and some... There's next to the GIF square, there's one with two triangles and a dot.
Yeah, the
looks like mountains and the sun. Right, you click that, and it will take you to your computer drive, and then you can pick a picture.
If I take the picture and then save it...
And it'll be in there. Yeah, then you highlight it in that bit, press open, it will attach to the message.
Yeah.
You're sending me a message.
Ah, brilliant.
With a picture. Okay.
I'll get a few
together
and I'll send them and see what you think. They're mainly drawings at the moment because I want to see if they're sort of good enough to put to colour, watercolour, you know.
Well, sometimes, my drawings never look very much. They always look better when they've got colour on them. So sometimes it's worth just persisting anyway.
Is it?
But go. Cool. Yeah, definitely.
Have a go
just to do it. It doesn't, the result doesn't matter.
I've done quite a few sketches and that, so
beautiful.
I was just going to have a go and see what happens.
Perfect.
I'll send you some
Perfect.
Later on in the week. Okay.
Very exciting. Thanks very much for that, Dean. I appreciate it.
Thank you for helping me.
No problem. No problem. Oh, three. Hang on.
My daughter's birthday on, Emma that died. So
yes.
Birthday on the 30th of this month, so it's a bit...
bless her.
A bit
raw. really tough.
At least the kids are talking anyway.
Yeah.
That was a big thing with me.
Brilliant.
So,
brilliant.
So that's all right.
That's nice to hear. Thanks very much, Dean. Nice to hear from you. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to Talk Radio. Have we got a break? Should we have a break? There's not a break. Well, let's just have 30 seconds thinking time, and then we'll talk to Wayne. In fact, no, we'll talk to Wayne now. Hello, Wayne.
Okay,
you all right? You don't want that.
No. All right. I did have a conversation, but I've got diverted again. Nigel, I think he's been looking through your keyhole, Kath.
Well, you better not.
Yeah.
I'll get a restraining order.
Well, it's the swing there. I've listened to it, and it goes, Uber up, Uber up, Uber up.
It's definitely not my keyhole. Let's listen to it again.
He looked through your keyhole and he seen some dust and he's doing his eyeballs. He goes, over, up, over, up.
It's definitely a voice. You're all laughing, but as soon as I tell you what it's saying, you're going to have the willies right up you.
Seriously? Well, obviously. It's not what I think, then. It does sound it through the phone. That's what it sounds like, Uber up.
Yeah, no, it's not. Well, I mean, my house is probably screaming that at the moment because four people not moving very far out of a house and a cat does not a happy carpet make. I'm just looking at it at the moment. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace, frankly. It's a disgrace. But you know what? It's my disgrace.
Well,
yeah,
I have got
exactly.
A story, but I don't know if I've got time to tell it now.
You can tell me.
Right, okay. A couple of weeks ago, I took delivery of a mattress. I didn't know it was a mattress. I was in the shower, and I waited for my own, so the courier driver, and I just said to him, leave it in the porch, because no signature's needed, is it? So, anyway, when I'd finished in the shower, I looked at it, I thought, oh, what's the hell's that? Anyway, I discovered it's a mattress, but it should have gone to a different county. Now, my kids say it's karma. I was just saying it's bad luck. So I've got to take my speaker off, Kath, sorry, because I can hear myself backfiring.
You don't want that.
Oh, is it annoying you?
No. Are you telling me a joke?
No. No, I ain't telling you a joke. It's a true story. It's just that I can hear myself talking.
I can't, but go on.
Well, that's fine. That's okay. So anyway, I decided after a few days that the curry driver had a bid to pick it up, so I'll put it on my bed because I normally have to change my mattress every year because I have 3 to 2 hours of sleep on it with me.
Oh.
So,
you change your mattress every year?
I have to, yeah, because I let the dog sleep on the bed.
Oh. What, are they filthy?
Sorry.
Go on.
Yeah, well, when it's winter, they're paddling back and forth, so...
Paddling.
So what happened was, the next morning, a knock on the door, it's curry driver. He said, excuse me, mate, but he said, I've delivered the mattress here by mistake.
Uh-oh.
Yes, exactly. Uh-oh. So I said, okay. I said, be honest with you, mate. I said, you undid the box. I said, I'm using it. He said, well, I've got to take it back. I said, well, okay then. I said, come and have a look at it. And he said, no, I've got to take it back because it's got me signed off. He said, if you want to purchase it again, you can do, which I never bothered. But now let me get to the story. I told you.
Oh, this isn't the story. Go on. Yep.
No, it does come back to the mattress. My next door neighbour passed away last week, and I've been comforting her husband, and he shouted me one night, and we're talking till getting dark, quite dark. And I try to cheer him up, and it won't work him. But anyway, so now let me get back to the story. So I thought, I'm absolutely knackered. I'm going to bed. So I know my routine. I don't need a light. I come in the bedroom, and I just lay back, and I hit the spring. I've got one of those old-fashioned bed with springs, yeah. Remember, there's no mattress on it, huh? So one of these springs...
Went up your bum.
Yeah. Well, thereabouts. But now this is where the embarrassment comes in. In our bungalows, we have a call centre.
You said bungalows.
Yeah. My neighbour, he's Canadian, and he talks very loud, and he hit this button, he said... And the woman come through, she goes, "How can I help you?" And he shouted, "Mike's on the bed and the spring's up his bum." And she goes, I'd rather you not make these calls. These are for emergencies." He said, "It's emergency." She goes, "To me, it sounds sex something like." And she hung up. I thought, okay. So he said, "Well, I'm going to have to get the ambulance up." Anyway, the fire brigade turned out. This is honestly... And they turned around and said, "Well, we'll take you to hospital." I said, "I'm not going to get to hospital with a spring stuck on the back." He said, "Well, we can do it," but he spent 10 minutes.
Bounce.
Yeah, he spent 10 minutes pushing my face. The fire brigade.
Pushing your face?
Yeah, he's trying to get the smile off it. But anyway, I said, "No, I'd rather not go to the hospital." But I said, "My son, he's a nurse. I'll get him to come down." And so now my next door neighbour, I've been trying to cheer up all night. He only comes back with his phone, he starts taking photographs of me, and he's laughing. I thought, well, some good's coming to this. It cheered him up. Anyway, my son turns up eventually. Before they got me off this mattress, anyway, my son turned up, and he had to put a stitch in. And he said, "Dad," he said, "I've been gay 20 years. He said, "I'd never done that." He said, "An inch the other way," he said, "you've had a prick up your ass."
What a delightful story.
The kids say it's karma, I just say it's bad luck. I should never have put the maps on bed, but anyway. But the moral of the story is it cheered my next door neighbour up, no end.
Well, your end. Thanks very much for that, Wayne.
Okay, Kath, good night.
God, what a charming insight into Wayne's life there. I mean, he probably should have had a tetanus jab if we put that where. I don't even want to think about. I'm now thinking about his backside. 0344 499 1000. This show is something else, and I sit beforehand and think of all the things we could talk about. And all the things I don't particularly want to talk about because everyone else has talked about them all day to the point where it's kind of frustrating. And I think, well, what can I ask them? What can we talk about? What shall I throw out? What can I help them, you know, guide them towards, you know, what they're going to call about? Didn't think for a second we were going to end up talking about a rusty spring up someone's jacksie, but that is the magic of this show. I've got to say welcome to Hussein, who said, "I've just switched from BBC Radio 4 to Talk Radio. And who is managing the phones?" Well... It's a funny story. The callers, whilst varied, are unusual. Yes, they are, Hussein. Welcome. This isn't even the weirdest it gets. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. If you want to talk about anything, and as you heard there, that is a really broad spectrum. Also, we're talking about this, and none of you obviously are attuned to the spirit world in the same way that I am, because the swing... in my garden is clearly... speaking to us. And once I tell you what it's saying, you won't be able to unhear it. Haunted. And speaking of which as well, I went to my car for the first time in ages over the weekend, and I realised that I've been literally sitting on treasure. This was in here. It's an envelope containing Chat Its Fate from the before times. Yes. The world's most important magazine featuring the supernatural and magical sometimes stories that you don't get anywhere else. Chat It's Fate. I've got the April 2020 issue, and you will notice that that is unusual, because normally Chat It's Fate, because it's so mystical, I get it. I should be on the June issue by now. It usually comes in advance, but because of what happened, this is sort of a time capsule. So I've got April 2020, and the front page is as follows. We may get to delve into it later on, but we may have more perverts ringing. We never know. Chat It's Fate. My son sends wedding dresses from heaven. The best psychic advice. Dad's last gift to me. A baby boy. I'm hoping that's not what I think it is. A demon ruined mum's birthday, then tried to kill her. Now that is a crap birthday. The spells that made my dreams come true. A book jumped out to save me. Redemption. And get famous with voodoo. So don't tell me I don't give you variety on this show. 0344 499 1000. We're going to get the news, and then we're going to get the real news, psychic news, from Chat It's Fate. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Give me time to change your mind. always seems to heal the wounds. If I can get you to dance.
Ah, Fleetwood Mac. Say you will. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. And like that, it's gone midnight and we've got less than an hour to go before the end of the show. So if you want to give me a ring about anything, don't be shy. Give me a shout now. 0344 499 1000. Pete's given me a ring and he is waiting very patiently. Thanks for that, Pete.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on with you?
I think I sound a little to your swing. I think it's saying something like over here.
Sorry, no. I didn't quite catch that. Go on.
I think it's saying something like over here.
Oh, the haunted swing. The haunted swing. Let's have a listen. It's not what I heard, but I'll tell you what I heard in a second. You reckon it's over here? Let's have a quick, hang on, let me find it. Unlike a lot of ghost spotters, I had the foresight to record it on my phone, so it's here, right? It's over here isn't the sound that I heard. What I heard was a woman's name.
A woman's name?
Listen.
No, I didn't hear a woman's name.
I'll reveal it very shortly, Pete, but thanks for having listened to it and taking me seriously, because I know a lot of people will scoff at haunted swings, but I believe they can exist.
I believe they definitely do exist.
Of course
definitely.
They do. It's someone's happy place.
When I was a young child in a playground in Hampshire, we went to see my grandparents, and we were on a few swings there, saw three or four swings. And one of them started moving by itself, whether it was the wind or not, I don't know, but us kids run.
definitely a ghost. If you were to write to Chat's Fate, they would definitely write it up as a ghost story, Pete, so that for me is proof.
Yeah, strange, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it though?
Yeah, different things, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, apart from a haunted swing, have you ever seen a ghost?
My uncle took me to the fair at Hampton Court one year. When he was coming back from the fair in the evening, he said, come on, he said, we'll walk along the river, which was the Thames from Hampton Court to Kingston. I said, yeah, all right. So he said, we cut through the Palace grounds. So I said, all right. And so I said, are we going to get in there? He said, oh, don't worry about that. Anyway, we got in via a little gate along the side. And off to the river we went. And as we was passing the maze, he said, look at that. And there was a cloud, a mist, and it was moving unnaturally. And it did frighten me a little bit, I must admit. But so I was okay.
Yeah, a misty maze.
Yeah, just a little mist, a little patch of mist. It was moving, I don't know, it was just moving unnaturally, you know, just in a straight line too quickly. Was it a ghost or was it a mist patch, you know?
Was it a fast-moving mist patch? I mean, I know which one sounds more likely.
Yeah.
I don't really believe in ghosts and stuff, but I've had two things happen to me, one of which I can explain and one I can't. The one I can explain happened. I only had one little girl, and she must have been about two. And I'd put her in her own bed rather than in a cot, so she was quite liable to getting out of bed, you know, and having a walk about and coming. And yeah. I'd wake up in the night, and there would be a child breathing in my ear, you know, that kind of thing. So you're sort of used to it. So one night, I woke up for this familiar thing to happen. There was a child standing by the side of the bed, looked like the outline of my daughter, sort of golden curls and a nightie on. And then when I looked at her properly, there was no face.
Oh, no.
And I shot out of bed. I kind of came to standing up, like terrified. Now, I don't know what that was. When I was younger, I used to get sort of night terrors where I would think I'd woken up in a dream and there'd be someone standing there and I'd wake up like that on my feet, sort of ready to bolt. Yeah. So I think that's probably what that was. Okay. Well, other people may say, oh, no, you had a visitor and you're just trying to justify it to yourself. Here's the other thing that happened to me that I can't explain. When I was about 15, me and my French pen friend, she'd come over on the exchange and we were walking back from another friend's house and we were walking towards where my mum and dad live, and they live on the other side of sort of a green that that goes behind people's houses, if you can imagine it, and there's a path that goes all the way up. And when you're standing at the top of the path, you can see a kind of dog leg and you can see either side of the green. So it's quite a wide view, right? Yeah. And as we were walking up the hill, there was a guy behind us, and I think he had something over his shoulder that I kind of assumed at the time was a tennis racket or something, a sort of a stick or something over his shoulder. And I'd only kind of looked over my shoulder at him briefly because he seemed to be really close to us. Mm. And to the point where we kind of picked up pace and we realised he was picking up pace as well. And by the time we got to my mum's, we'd run.
Yeah.
We'd run, and this guy had been running as well, and he'd come into the close that my parents live at, and you would be able to see, you could see the entire path behind him, and it's green either side of it, so you should be able to see it. And we got to the front door, banged on the door, mum opened the door, we turned around, there was no one there, and he'd been right behind us. Now that is one I can't explain.
No,
that is one I can't
explain it either, to me.
And that is weird. That is weird. And yeah. I'm a massive cynic, and I cannot tell you what happened there. And we both looked at each other like, oh, my God. But, you know, 15-year-old girls often make things up and no one believed us. Yeah. But that was a real thing.
Did you do that? You know, I mean, did your friend see it?
Yeah, we both saw it because we both started running because he was like,
it felt
like he was sort of bearing down on us, you know? It felt threatening. And it was that kind of dusky sort of time where I think women in particular become quite vigilant as to who's walking close. And, you know, I think blokes who are thoughtful, and blokes who are mindful kind of drop back a little bit or cross over the other side of the road so as not to, you know, appear threatening. But, yeah, it was that was a weird one.
Yeah.
As for my swing, now that is, it's probably nothing that WD-40 can't fix, but I think it's talking to me.
Doesn't actually say oil me.
No, it doesn't. Do you know what I can hear? Seriously, and my kids found it hilarious because once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
Yeah.
Emma! Emma!
Wow. Isn't that
strange? Do you hear it now?
It's my daughter's name.
Uncanny, Pete. It's uncanny.
Wow. Yeah, it definitely is, Kev.
We should leave it there before we get any spookier because, quite frankly, we're going to disappear up our own spookiness. thanks very much for calling, Pete. 344-499-1000. We don't need the Ghostbusters. We can handle this stuff, but it is getting pretty spooky around here. You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm Catherine Boyle, and I'll be right back after this.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Oh, 344-499-1000 is the phone number to call, and that's what Colette has done. Thanks for ringing, Colette. Hello.
Hello, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thank you. Just coping with lockdown as everyone is.
Oh, God, I know. But I keep saying to myself, if it's boring, we're lucky.
I know. Well, I've been working constantly, so I've got a bit of a breather from the whole boringness.
Right. What do you do, Colette?
I'm a police officer.
Oh, ho!
Yeah.
So probably less than boring then. It's a pretty interesting time to be a copper at the moment, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of work, so...
Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
Okay, well, thank you for what you're doing. I think we appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
How are you keeping tonight? You're not working tonight then, I take it?
Did a bit of work this morning, but... Not really, just been decorating the bedroom.
Why is everyone deciding to... I know why people are deciding to decorate now. I know exactly why, because I spoke to my mate Ronnie earlier on and he said he's decorating his dining room. It's something about being stuck indoors that means you cannot avoid seeing the bits that you want to change.
Yeah, like nitpicking everything.
So, yeah. So what are you doing? What kind of decorating? Wallpaper or paint?
Just painting. We painted the front room a couple... I think a week ago, when I just started the bedroom tonight.
Blimey, you're not playing games,
we're
are you?
On the, we're on the call the other night with you, me and my boyfriend.
Oh.
I was the one with the lizard, if you remember.
I do remember. Right, now, talk to me about that lizard, because, yeah, I really wanted to come to you, because I love animals, I don't get reptiles, but I think that's probably my childhood prejudice about snakes. So, how come you ended up with a lizard?
I don't know, I just thought they're cute, so I don't like snakes or anything like that, but they're literally the tamest animals you can ever get. Like, he sleeps in the bed and everything. He has his own little blankets and he cuddles up. He's really cute.
What?
Yeah, he's one of those.
Okay, you kind of lost me at sleeps in the bed in a blanket, but okay. I mean, to be honest, it sat with you longer than my cat sits with me, so I think you're onto a winner there. What's your lizard called? What kind of lizard is it?
He's a bearded dragon. And he's called Bert.
Right. Bert?
Yeah. A common lizard name.
My granddad was called Bert. Bert Boyle, imagine.
It's a great name.
But it is a great name. He didn't tell my grandma his name was Bert till they'd been going out for about 6 weeks. He told his name was Vinny. Vinny Royal instead of Bert Boyle. I don't know what he thought might be the turn-off about being called Bert Boyle. But Vinny Royal was his kind of rock and roll persona. Well, thanks very much for ringing and telling me about Bert, because, you know, what I'm talking about here for people who are new to the show is, over the weekend we did a socially distant kind of Zoom show, and because normally Ian, who works on this program with me, and I do live shows around the country, the idea being that, you know, not everyone who listens to the radio can get to stuff in London. I don't live in London. I'm not from London. Ian doesn't live in London. We wanted to sort of take it out and about and get people to know about what we were doing here at Talk Radio, but also, you know, meet some of you, because, you know, there's some brilliant characters out there. So obviously we can't do that at the moment, so we did this Zoom show. So we had this kind of screen full of people, something like 325 people joined us that day, and it was brilliant. I loved it. And of course there were some people that stand out. There was a very hot man called Christopher that both of us we caught both of our eye. I mean, my goodness, what a man. But also there was you. There was you and Bert. And I was really kind of taken with the idea that, I mean, you were holding that thing like it was a kitten, and it was a bearded dragon. It's a. How long have you had Bert then?
Coming up to 4 years now.
Right, and they live a long time, do they? Can you get, because obviously you're attached to him.
Yeah, it depends on how well you look after them. So I think it can be between like 8 and 13 years.
So. So, you say he sleeps in the bed with you. Does he, like, stamp around the house like, you know, like you leave a dog or a cat doing?
Yeah, he just
roams
everywhere.
Or does he go in his tank?
I was doing my work the other day and I found him. He'd climbed up our guitar in the end thingy and was, like, strumming it. It was the worst experience. And then somehow he managed to climb on top of the TV unit. He's just really odd.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's certainly a character. Certainly a character.
I'm hoping
well, thanks for ringing and telling me a bit more.
I'll come back.
I think we will. We're going to do one in 3 weeks. So, and I don't know what stage we're going to be with lockdown by then, because it seems like, it feels like, and I don't know whether that's just because we've been, you know, made hyper aware of it over the last week, last sort of couple of days, but it feels like people are freestyling a lot more now. It feels busier.
Yeah, it does. There's lots of people out. I'm noticing it a lot lately, especially at the shops and stuff. The queues are ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't fancy it. They're talking about reopening non-essential shops. I can't think of anything worse. I mean, it's going to be like the next sale everywhere,
Primark,
isn't it?
But I can't imagine why people would want to go into Primark right now. But if you need leggings, why not?
Yeah. One needs leggings. I think I need more elasticated waist. Honestly, I don't know what size I am anymore. I've just been sitting on my jacksie for 7 weeks. It's unbelievable.
Same.
I got into a little bit of a routine going to the gym beforehand, but that's gone completely through the window.
I think
never
I
mind.
Like a week, so.
Did you? Yeah. My kids are doing the Joe Wicks thing still, which I think is something else. I say my kids. One of them does it. The other one is she looks like mini me, and she's got my temperament as well. And yeah, she can barely be bothered to, you know, we keep shouting knees to chest at her, but she really is not working very hard for Joe Wicks. But the other one really puts her all into it. So if she's not got a six pack by the end, we'll be asking questions. But anyway, it was nice to hear from you, Colette. Thanks for ringing. And give Bert, I don't know, a hug, a stroke, whatever you do to bearded dragons. Yeah, both probably. Nice to hear from you. Back to the painting, please, because you've only done half a job there. 0344 499 1000 if you want to give me a ring. Let's have a word with Manny. Hello, Manny.
Good evening, my sweetheart. Hey,
long time no speak. How are you keeping?
I'm good. Now, we spoke about 2 months ago.
That's a long time. That's the before times, isn't it, virtually? Were we locked down by then?
Yeah, we were locked down, yeah. Here and you and
him. I can't remember.
Get on, didn't you?
Yeah.
How are you?
We're all right. We're all right. We're kind of getting used to it. I think, you know, the initial feeling of being deprived of something or, you know, I'm missing... Do you know what I'm really missing? I'm missing giving me mum a cuddle, and it kind of... And I know that everyone's got it tough, but... I can see my mum's house from my house. I can go and stand outside, but I can't touch her.
I read your tweets. The phone reads them out for me.
Yeah.
When you're in the window with the children.
Yeah. We did it again tonight. The kids now know it comes to 8 o'clock and the cry goes up. Let's go and flash grandma, which I'm sure other people's households don't say. But it kind of marks the days off a bit. I know she's getting fed up.
I forgot it was bank holiday the other day. Other days.
I know. The number of times I wake up and I think, is it Saturday? And it's not. It's like a Tuesday or a Thursday or something. But anyway.
Completely lost track of the days.
Yeah. Maybe that's for the best. Maybe that's for the best. Just resign to it, really.
It's boring.
It is boring. But do you know what? We're lucky if it's boring. There are some people who've had a bit too much drama in their lives because of all this stuff, and I'd rather be on this side of things. You know, we're lucky.
We are. So, I want to come on that Zoom next time. I'll get them to set it up for me.
Good. Will you put the camera on so we can see you? I'd love to know what you look like.
Oh, well. I've had a haircut at home.
I've got
my nephew. He didn't do a bad job. But by then, it should be back to normal.
But I see. It's one of those haircuts, is it?
No, he's done a good job, actually. Quite a few people, my neighbours, well, there's only 4 neighbours I've got, and he's done not a bad job.
Now, how did they say it, Manny? Did they go, have you had a haircut? Or did they say, nice haircut?
This is, where did you get that from?
Well, because everyone, haircuts are like, you know, do you remember what we were like with toilet paper? Everyone was jealous of someone if they had loads of toilet paper. Now it's haircuts. If you live with a hairdresser, you've struck gold.
I said my nephew, and he's a good job. Well, there's a hairdresser near us. He actually, if you know him well enough, he comes to your house with charges. Instead of tenner, he's charging £15. He's coming to your house and doing it. But only if you know him.
Yeah, you know the caller before you is a copper. You be careful, keep that on the down low because that's illegal behaviour.
I haven't been to him. My nephew don't mind, but I've heard he's been going around and, where we live and going to people there. Yeah.
Outrageous behaviour.
Are you painting going?
Maybe he's painted. I haven't done a painting for a couple of days because I got on a nice little roll. And here's the thing, I did like 3 good ones in a row and I thought, there's got to be a bad one sooner or later and it'll put me off, so I'm going to give it a rest for a while and then go back in. But at the moment I can't think of what I want to paint, so I'm going to wait till inspiration strikes. But my dad wants me to paint one for his conservatory and he's got me a massive piece of watercolour paper and I feel the pressure, man. I feel the pressure.
He wants a big cat.
He wants a big bee.
A
massive bee he wants.
Anyway,
he's into bees. He's Mancunian.
Ah. what the drinking was, you know, when you was on about the ghostly thing.
Yeah.
This is, it's happened to me, apart from the sleep paralysis.
Oh, the night terror thing.
Yeah, I had that yesterday, actually. Bloody hell, it crap me up, that.
It's horrible, isn't it?
It is, because me and my missus can't share the same room, because she's a nurse, and if she's in the room, then she'll give me a tug, like, you know what I mean?
She'll give and you a what now?
She gives me a whack, like, you know, get me out of it. But no, because we're in separate rooms, because she's a nurse, and because I'm diabetic, I didn't want to, you know, stay away for a bit. Because I don't want to catch up with anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, about 15 years ago, sleep. And you know, like, you see something coming, I could see then.
Yeah.
I saw this man in brown clothes walking towards me. And as soon as I must have been dreaming, because as soon as I opened my eyes, I could see him, and he just vanished. Just vanished. And then once, I must have been about 15, and you know your bay window.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell you, used to be under the bay window. I was only about 15 then. I'm looking at the TV, and then something caught something in the side of the window.
Yeah.
And you know, you take a quick look. I saw the man there with a white beard, white clothes. As soon as I looked again, he'd gone. Twice this happened to
me. And you were awake then?
Well, yeah, I was watching the TV when I was 15.
But
the second time I was asleep, I think I was asleep. But that sleep, bloody, oh God, that does crap you up, that does, honestly.
It's horrible. It's horrible. And when you wake up, I don't know whether it's because you've been breathing really deeply or something, but your chest aches. And there was a couple of occasions where I felt like the person who was standing over the bed had sort of pushed down on my chest. So when I found myself awake, I could feel a pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It was the weirdest thing. It's not nice at all.
It's what happens to me, Kat. Sometimes, like they're squeezing my legs, right?
Yeah.
Or my arms. Or sitting on your chest.
Yeah.
And the first time it happened to me, my missus thought I was joking. And she goes to me in the morning. But I says, I don't know what happened. I said, like a bloody ghost attack. She goes, you're making it all up and all this and blah, blah. I said, I swear, man. She goes, your eyes were open. I said, no, I don't know. I do not know. I said, I could feel myself fighting with it. I said, was I moving? She goes, no. Your eyes were open, but you wasn't moving. Then she asked the consultant, and he told her about his sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
It happens, it can happen like once a month, it can happen twice a day, twice a week, it can happen every 6 months.
And it's actually really common, and it's been documented, like, in history. In fact, there was one of the legends to try to explain it was, this is really spooky, it's called the Night Hag or the Old Hag. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's the name, and if you look it up on Wikipedia, you'll see it's a thing.
Mm.
Name given to a supernatural creature used to explain the phenomenon of sleep paralysis. It's a phenomenon during which the person feels a presence or supernatural malevolent being. And that's the thing, you feel like someone is staring at you and they're going to attack you. That's the main thing, that it's frightening.
It's like in the room.
It immobilizes the person as if sitting on their chest or at the foot of their bed. The word nightmare or nightmare was used to describe this phenomenon before the word received its modern, more general meaning. Various cultures have various names for it and the supernatural character. So in Scandinavian folklore, it's caused by a mare, a supernatural creature related to the incubi or succubi, which is kind of a sexy ghost, Manny, if only it was that. The mare is a damned woman who is cursed, and her body is carried mysteriously during sleep without her noticing. In this state, she visits villagers to sit on their rib cages while they're asleep, causing them to experience nightmares. Folk belief in Newfoundland, South Carolina and Georgia describe the negative feature of the hag who leaves her physical body at night and sits on your chest. In Fiji, the experience is interpreted as kana tavuro, or being eaten by a demon. In many cases, the demon can be the spirit of a recently dead relative who's come back for some unfinished business.
You know, sometimes, Kat, I lie on the right side of the bed, right?
Yeah.
Mom
is which side I sleep on? The right, yeah.
Left, right. Got cabinet, cabinet.
Does she sleep nearer the door?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
The door's
I always end up further. I always end up the furthest away from the door. I don't know why that is.
Anyway, this is before the corona, so this is about September. I'm lying there. She's asleep. And I've fallen asleep. You know, like something's trying to push inside of you, from the side. I had that bloody feeling like something's trying to get inside of me, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
Trying to push in, but it's pushing in, and then, like you say, it's gone on your chest, and it's pushing down on your chest.
Yeah.
But it does crap you, because, you know, I'm blind.
Mm.
But it's like I can see him.
It's like
you can see him. Well, you can, if it's very dark in the room, it's like they're watching you. There's people in the room watching you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
yeah,
ready.
It's that feeling of being watched. That's because, what kind of alerts you to it about to happen, isn't it?
I remember telling you that before and telling you, and then he goes, "Oh, I'd love to." Honestly, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
It's
the
terrifying.
Way it scares you. The way it scares you. Because I watched a few YouTube videos on it. Oh, God. Anyway,
that's a delightful thought to leave people with as they fall asleep.
I know. I think you should do one of those after 12 o'clock, like a ghostly thing for about half an hour. Or read a story. Because you've got a beautiful soft voice. And you're like, I don't know I think you're too young for Jack and Ori.
No, I'm not. I remember Jack and Ori, and I remember Rick Mayall making a right old mess and me thinking it was brilliant. I always found Jack and Ori a bit boring.
The Tales of the Uninspected on a Saturday night.
Oh, now that was always on at my grandma and granddad's, and I found the opening credits of that quite spooky. I'm going to do Chat It's Fate. If no one rings up, then we'll have a spooky half hour. But
it's good. Yeah.
It's always good to hear from you, Manny. So what's happening while... Because you got a job, didn't you? What's happening while we're on lockdown?
I'm off.
Right.
I'm off. And I think about 60 people have gone back. But they're the only ones that are working on Junction 10. M6.
Yeah. Right.
My missus and kid, they don't want them to go back.
Yeah.
One thing is because I'm diabetic. And I haven't got any other health reasons, it's just diabetic really. But they do say so, stay away, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
We go to my mum, it's through the window.
Yeah, same as mine.
She lives around the corner from me, and she looks through the window, and we sort of chat through the window, and that's about it. And it's only once a week or twice a week, because the neighbours are weird. Because the neighbours,
really?
Right? It's not weird in that way, but if you go around and you're standing there, and she shouted to us, "You shouldn't be round here. You shouldn't be round." We're not going inside, are we? So the lady next door, Joan, she's 90. We do a shopping for her and just pass it through the window. Yeah. We can't do much more for her. Pass it through the window to her and she... money, we just leave the money, don't worry about it. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Come to her a lot. Like, you know. She's a good one, she's Joan.
You're very kind, Manny. So, you can come talk to your mum through the window, as long as you're standing well back. It's no one else's business.
Through the window.
I know.
She opens the
one
window,
of my neighbours has had her grandkids round every other day since it started, as if nothing's happening.
Well, Jim and them round, you know, VE Day?
Yeah.
We were all on the drives, and Paris is 6, and Kyle's 2, and I shouted to him, I said, "Jim, how come he goes... I couldn't stand it," he says, "Manny," he goes, "I had to see him." He says, "I tell little Belko, you get him over here." He was cuddling them and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, "I miss him too much."
because they only had one child, so the lads had two, but they're very close because, you know, they look after them. They used to take them to school and bring them back and stay with them. They're very close, but they came on VE Day and they were here last Sunday.
Yeah.
Well,
I do worry that we're going to get this second wave and, you know, people like your wife are going to have to pick up the pieces. But, you know, with what's happened recently, you can't really...
She did say that it had gone down and normal people have started coming back in with a sprained ankle or, you know.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. But not as much. Not as much. Right. They used to get a lot of people with overdose, taking overdose and then coming, but they haven't had any of them. But people have started coming back in. They're not scared as they were, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They were very scared. They're not going in.
God.
Yeah.
Listen, you keep well and look after each other. That's all we can do. Look after your little bubble.
Babe, I know you're listening. And you, Ian, if you're listening.
He's listening. I'll speak to you later. Thanks for ringing, Manny.
Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000 if you want to give me a ring. I mean, Manny said it there. We can have a spooky story time if you want, but you can ring me. You know what I'm like with Chatty's Fate? It always leads to disappointment, right? The setup's always brilliant. I love the way they tell a story. I love the specifics of it. People get surnames and ages and stuff, right? When you don't need surnames and ages, and sometimes places are working that. But it always leads to it obviously being bullshine. So at any point during the next whatever it is when I'm reading this thing, you can stop me and we can talk about something else and I will resume or not resume as the case may be. 0344-499-1000. So we've got on the front cover of Chat It's Fate. This is where they tantalise and they're so good at this. My son sends wedding dresses from heaven. Dad's last gift to me was a baby boy. I mean, that's... A demon ruined mum's birthday then tried to kill her. That's the winner for me. The spells that made my dreams come true. A book jumped out to save me, or get famous with voodoo. Well, I don't think we should be dabbling with voodoo. Not while we can't get out of the house to get an exorcist. So maybe we do a demon ruin mum's birthday and then try to kill her. And I'm going to dedicate it to everyone who's had a birthday during lockdown because you think you've had a crap time. This sounds like a worse one. Page 4 is going to be good. It's in the first one up. First one off the rank in the book. My grandma used to call magazines books. Right, here we go. Ready? I'm going to get... hang on. Let's set the scene. Let's have a... And as I say, you can make this up any time because it's going to get really spooky. You're going to be so frightened. It's incredible. Hang on. 0344-499-1000. Search spooky music. I'm giving you basically sound SFX is what I'm giving you. Hang on. Let's just turn that... Let's just... do this. How loud is this going to be? I think it's perfect. Right. No, stop! Hang on. Let's wait a second. Skip ads. Right. We're in. Sleeping with the enemy. My mum's birthday treat turned into... her worst nightmare. This is by Annalise Morehouse, who's 44 and from West Yorkshire. Hang on a minute. Hang on. This is too loud. This is spoiling the Atmos. Skip trial. Hayley, if you're listening, could you go on YouTube and get me some spooky music? And as soon as that pipes up, I'll be ready to go. There we go. Listen to this. This is... lightning reflexes. I reckon she'll start in... I'm going to count how long it takes for her to get it together, but I bet it's within 20 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She's good. That's why she gets paid the big bucks. Annalise Morehouse, 44, West Yorkshire. Throwing my arms round Mum, I pressed an envelope into her hands. Surprise! I beamed as she tore it open. Mum looked at me and what was inside and gasped. You shouldn't have, Annalise, she said. This is such a treat. It was the day before Mum's 60th birthday, and I'd been trawling the web to find the perfect hotel to take her for her birthday night. We only had one night to get away, so I wanted to find somewhere special. I'd booked a grand old hotel in Scarborough. Fancy. So we could walk along the seafront and enjoy the beautiful views. The hotel had great reviews when I researched it online, but I did notice a few comments from visitors saying there was something seriously spooky about it. There were stories about objects falling from walls, footsteps echoing in empty corridors and that kind of thing, but as far as I could tell, nothing all that sinister, so I thought, why not? And booked. Once I told Mum about the trip, we went upstairs to pack. My overnight bag was already filled with pampering goodies for what I imagined would be a relaxing evening ahead. "Oh, that hotel looks wonderful," Mum said as she leafed through the information I'd printed out for her. "What a beautiful old building!" Subtitling read, "Grandad's Ghost." "Do you believe in ghosts, Mum?" I asked, trying hard to sound casual. "Well, I didn't until you introduced me to them," she chuckled. "Remember when you were little and you had that shy friend who lived in your bedroom? And what about that time with Grandad? Completely freaked me out, that did." At 3 years old, I'd seen my Grandad at the top of the stairs and run to tell Mum about it. "Grandad's in hospital, love," she told me, and then the phone rang. It was the hospital, ringing to inform Mum that Grandad had passed away. As for my shy friend, Mum told me that I was always chatting away to someone in my bedroom, and when she asked who it was, I'd tell her to go away because my friend was shy. Flipping heck. Mum later told me that she didn't think anything of it. What? You would, wouldn't you? You would. You'd think quite a lot of it. Didn't think anything of it until she started to smell lavender every time I chatted to my friend. Before us, an old lady had lived in the house who wasn't allowed to see her grandkids, and when she died, the upstairs bedroom was filled with gifts for them. Mum felt sorry for her, but eventually asked her to leave. So what's that got to do with lavender? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Catherine. Doesn't matter. We're looking for facts in this. This is not the place to look for facts. Mum felt sorry for her, but eventually asked her to leave. Well, a ghostly old lady is a strange friend for a small child to have. So Mum and I had our share of spooky experiences, but even so, I hope the hotel's resident spooks would keep their distance. Subtitling read, freezing cold. No such luck. No sooner had we checked in and headed up to our twin room that Mum started to shiver. "Aren't you cold?" she asked me, wrapping her jumper more tightly round her body. "No, I hope you're not coming down with something, Mum," I said, worried. The room was warm and toasty. We went out for dinner, and Mum seemed absolutely fine. But the moment we got back to our bedroom, she started complaining about the cold again. "There's something not right about this place, Annalise," she told me. I hadn't mentioned the ghost to her until now. "There's something I've got to tell you, Mum," I said. "The hotel is said to be haunted," I told her. And I told her what I discovered online when I looked up the hotel. Kind of wish you hadn't told me that now," Mum shivered. "I feel a bit scared too," I confessed. "Let's have a large gin and tonic to calm our nerves and go to bed." As I was dropping off to sleep, Mum got out of bed and pushed a large old chair up against the door. "Just in case," she whispered. "Yeah, that'll sort ghosts out. Works every time." She was clearly rattled, but I was relaxed after my G&T. Bet it was a double. And I soon fell asleep. I was woken at 8 a.m. by the alarm on my phone. "Morning, Mum," I yawned, rolling over in bed to smile at her. "Oh, my God!" Terrifying sight. "That's a bit rude. She's an old lady." Oh, Mum was lying on her back in her nightie with her eyes wide open, staring at the ceiling in terror, her hands pinned by her side. Her bed covers were on the other side of the room. That must have been some gin. She looked like she'd passed away in the night. Petrified, I leapt out of bed to check that she was still breathing. "Wake up, Mum," I pleaded, shaking her. She was unresponsive like a rag doll, but suddenly a terrifying, unnatural growl ripped through the air. Again, it'd been a long night, maybe beans. My blood ran cold. I'd never heard anything like it. I couldn't even tell where the sound was coming from, but one thing was clear. Whatever was making that sound was very malevolent indeed. Mum suddenly lurched out of bed, screaming with fear. She ran into the bathroom and locked the door. "Mum, what's going on?" I yelled, banging on the door. I mean, at this point, would you be asking that question? My heart was pounding as I looked around the room, expecting some foul, demonic creature to emerge from the shadows at any moment, as you would. Finally, Mum calmed down enough to come out of the bathroom and speak to me. She was white as a sheet. "What happened?" I gasped. "I was just trying to sleep," Annalise, Mum mumbled, "but it kept waking me up. All night. It started pulling my covers off and I kept trying to pull them back up, so it threw them across the room. I tried to scream to you for help, but nothing would come out, and then there was that terrible noise, that growl. I felt sick. This was no ghost. It had to be some sort of demon." Good deduction. "It grabbed me," Annalise, Mum whispered. "It threw my blankets right across the room and then it dragged me out of bed by my ankles." Oh, the indignity. They don't care, these demons. They don't care. That's when the growling started up again. A harrowing, low, guttural noise that I'll never be able to shake from my mind. I threw everything in our bags and we ran out of the hotel. If they were doing four in a bed, that would be at least £20 off. Settling Mum in the car, I went back to check out. I told the manager what had happened. Didn't seem especially surprised, and I got the feeling he'd heard it all before.
I mean,
is that the end? No, over the page had something followed them home. Flipping it. Right, let's have a breather because this is getting too intense. The octane is too high. Let's have a breather. I'll be back in a second. Don't get too scared. We're going to be all right. 03444991000 if you want to change the subject. If not, we're going to plough on through. Stick with me, guys. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Yeah, so anyway, spooky time. Thank you. Production values on this show are through the roof. Hope you appreciate it. Back at home, normality resumed and the memory of that terrifying night began to slip away. It wouldn't. That would be the thing you'd remember, wouldn't it? We both did our best to put it to the back of our minds, but it wasn't long before my mum, who'd hardly had a day's illness in her whole life, started having serious health problems. Uh-oh. 6 months after our trip, she began to complain of chest pains and breathlessness. "You need to get yourself checked out, Mum," I told her, deeply concerned. "Oh, don't worry, love, it's just severe acid reflux," she assured me. Subtitling read, "Terrible pain." But one night she was in so much pain that we rang for an ambulance. It turned out that she wasn't just experiencing acid reflux. Those pains had been mini heart attacks. We were all shocked. Nobody in our family could understand how or why Mum's health was suddenly deteriorating. Little did we know that there was still worse to come. Still in hospital, Mum was told that she'd need to have her gallbladder removed and an urgent triple heart bypass to save her life. The surgery was booked exactly a year to the day after our stay at the haunted Scarborough Hotel, which is obviously proof. Understandably, I was absolutely petrified when Mum went in for her operation, and to make things worse, I couldn't shake the horrible suspicion that the hospital couldn't have picked a more unlucky date for it. Fortunately, the surgery was a success, but my relief about it didn't last long. Subtitle in red, bad to worse. Mum was discharged after a few days and I opted to stay with her to keep an eye on her. Thank God I did, in italics. I'd woken up in the night with a loud bang. Terrified, I leapt straight out of bed and rushed to see what had happened. I found Mum lying by her bed. She'd got up to go to the toilet and collapsed. I am first aid trained, so immediately recognised that she was having a stroke. I rang for an ambulance and was rushed back to hospital, where she ended up staying for a further 4 months. She lost the power of speech and all her movement down her right side. And now, 3 years on, Mum still needs 24-hour care, but she's learned to talk and walk again. Albeit with great difficulty. I've often wondered if that nightmarish demonic encounter was a warning, or perhaps the trigger, for the sudden onset of my mum's failing health. It seems more than a coincidence that her health problems started so soon afterwards. One thing's for sure, it was a birthday she'll never forget, for all the wrong reasons. Now, that'll teach them for going to an old hotel and not just sticking with a normal travel tavern like everybody else. I mean, that is terrible. That is terrible luck, isn't it? But, gosh. Oh, hang on. There's a little picture here. Slow process, getting better. So that's all right then. I don't... I might have been a demon, I suppose. It sounds legit. It's been really good fun being with you tonight. We've got a couple of minutes left if you want to sneak it under the wire. But other than that, I think we're just about done. There were so many things I wanted to talk to you about tonight we were not going to get to, such as... Oh, yeah, the flip-flop pervert. Oh, maybe I'll save that for tomorrow. The world's strangest miracle cures. And someone who had... I'll do this one quickly. This is what I was going to do a lot of. And actually, Jasmine, I thought, timed her call perfectly because she had problems with her ear hole, do you remember, in the first half hour of the show? Well, this fella... I was ready to talk about, which is an uncanny coincidence, actually, and maybe something I should write to Chat His Fate about. Disturbing picture of what came out of a blocked ear leaves people unable to sleep. A Reddit user. Ah, Reddit. Reddit is also, as far as I'm concerned, I think they make it up. Horrified readers have been left unable to sleep after someone shared the result of their attempts to remove an earwax blockage, which had been bugging them for days. That, eagle-eared listeners, is... Have they got ears? Yeah, they've got ears. Sort of holes underneath feathers. But that is what's known as a seed bugging them. The anonymous person, so probably not a real person, explains they were woken up in the middle of the night and immediately felt something was wrong with their left ear. Don't worry, it wasn't a demon, this is not demonic. It was not painful, but it caused a loud crackling noise every few seconds, which they had never experienced with the build-up of earwax previously. They put a cotton pad with a bit of olive oil to the ear to soften the wax. Good tip, thanks very much for that. And the crackling noise was replaced with soft tickling sounds. Which made it difficult to sleep, but eventually they managed to nod off again. The next morning, the sounds were gone. Daryl's there. Are you there, Daryl?
Hello.
Get this, Daryl.
Yeah?
Tickling sounds. Tickling and like rattling about in your ear in the middle of the night. What could it be? We're going to find out. The next morning, the sounds were gone, but the blockage remained, so they spent the next few days attempting to remove it themselves. They gently put water in their ear, tried to soften the wax with oil again, and even resorted to using tweezers, which you must not do. All these methods failed to get the earwax out until today, they wrote, they made up on Reddit. I was once again stupidly poking around with the tweezers inside my ear, which you must not do, when I finally managed to grab the earwax. Excited, I took it out and wanted to look at what my ear had just birthed. Ooh. To my horror, the blockage was not earwax, but it was caused by a moth.
Oh, no!
A moth!
No!
A moth!
Oh, no! I have genuine nightmares about that kind of thing. Why would you do that to me?
Well, I know. Well, we're supposed to eat loads of spiders in our sleep, aren't we?
No,
but a moth crawling into your ear roll, that's just rude. tell me what's coming up in your programme.
Lots coming up on the programme. I'm sure you can imagine. We've got a fifth day of material out of the DC.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Benjamin Butterworth's going to be here. He's got a very interesting take on this. He's the night editor right there, but yeah.
Good.
So he'll be with us. I've got an interesting take. So there have been some utterly ridiculous moments today. I've got some clips to play for you after one this morning.
I take it the Michael Gove, I may have done the same thing, bullshine is going to be in there.
It's in the mix, for sure. And it's not, and it's amongst the worst, but it's arguably not the worst, actually. So we've got a collection of that to come. That'll be, and we're going to go live to Spain as well a little bit later on, because they've had some protests in that part of the world. And we're going to talk about letter writing, which is apparently making a comeback. So it's not all Dominic Cummings, but it'll be a little bit of Dominic Cummings.
I had a conversation once with Julie Cooper about letter writing, because she, we'll talk about love letters and whether it was an art that was going out the window. And this was like pre-proper internet as well. This was early 2000s.
Yeah.
And do you know what happened off the back of that interview?
Go on.
She sent me a letter.
Oh,
a handwritten letter.
Did she?
She's just the best. What a lovely woman.
There's something very therapeutic. We'll talk about this later, but there's something just quite therapeutic about it, I think, isn't there? It feels nice. A nice feeling, isn't it?
It feels like a faff beforehand, but there's a real sense of achievement when you finish
that's
a letter. And to receive one is still lovely.
Yeah.
It's still lovely.
I think that's what it is.
Anyway, that sounds grand. Thank you for that, Mr. Daryl. Daryl Morris is going to be coming up on the other side of the news, so brace yourselves for that. Make sure you've got a nice cuppa and you've had a wee in that. Pay him your full attention, because he's worked very hard on this programme. You owe him that, at the very least. Thank you so much for your company tonight. I'll be back same time tomorrow, 10 till 1. And the show will be completely different again. Thanks to everyone who gave us a ring. Thanks to you for listening. And I'll see you then. You take care of yourselves. Good night.
Talk Radio.